Plenty to do here. Let's bring this meeting to order, May 1st, 2012, Newbury Park Conservation Commission. And first item is this meeting is being recorded for the public's information. And first item on the agenda, the minutes from April 17th. Do you have any comments?
The industrial park updates, last sentence in the first paragraph, that the city was not invited to the park on the 17th. We were invited, but we just couldn't get it in the trash and to go.
You could say the city was not able to attend the site visit. No, not able to apply.
I just have one little one. I think it's just a matter of any moving something that under the Olean landfill. The last part of it, getting the joke to Sarah said, I think that was not under that enforcement order title.
Yeah, that
Joe was, I think that was under general.
That would be my request too, that we separate that out. Oh, also in that same paragraph, just add an ED at the end of look into it a later date. Anything else?
Motion to approve.
All in favor? All right, opposed? Okay. Next item, discussion of the citywide wetlands ordinance. Hi, Andy.
Hi. Sorry I couldn't attend the last meeting. I was going to be doing this last time. I think you made some progress in adjusting some language, addressing concerns that were raised prior to the council vote. Hopefully, to address the concerns here, so that when it goes back to the council, you get to vote to approve it, and we get out of the way. So, as I understand it, you have approved some of the changes you put in there. You had a couple of questions or concerns and some other things. I want to run through and try to address those tonight. So, hopefully, we can leave it to have something we can send back to the council subcommittee for recommendations to the council for that.
So
I went over with Andy the changes that sort of the edits that we reviewed at the last meeting and the changes that we made to those things that you guys all agreed on. And then where we ended was at the sort of the definition section where we started to have a lot more questions.
I was hoping maybe we could recap what was discussed last time first and then cover the pieces of the things that you wanted for the last time. That works. My understanding is you're okay living up until page 3. And there's obviously one page that made it easy this way. The bottom of page 3, there's item H there.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about the destruction or removal of wildlife. Including the amount of energy to showing a tree and shrubs.
Why?
To leave that in.
Yeah, I don't. I would like to know why you wanted to remove it.
Right. No, I'm fine. We talked about it earlier today, so we're adding that language back in there.
We're
going to
leave
okay.
That back. We're going to leave that. Okay.
So I think that addresses page 3. So the next item was on page 5,
mm-hmm.
Where it says bottom of page page, item A1, it says including tree pruning, in parentheses. And we're removing that section right there, that phrase.
Say again?
We're removing that phrase where it says including tree pruning.
Parentheses.
Okay.
Second line. Landscape areas, including tree pruning. We're just gonna, because you all had a problem with that as well. We're just gonna remove that parenthetical reference.
Okay.
I'm happy to defer to the mayor since she's here.
Yeah. Why don't we? I think we're getting a little update. Okay. And I'm going to recuse myself right now. Thank you for that reminder.
I had, as a result of, I think we had spoke a little bit about that, I was concerned about some of the increase complaints by the neighbors about how everything was all high. Even though there were a few, but there was still a concern about what was going on. So I contacted Susan Rush, who is now the new Dick Chapman. He has resigned, or not resigned, he's retired. So she is overseeing, you know, all of this division of the EP. So I asked her for a meeting, and in fact, she came, John Harrigan, who you all know came, who's been working on this project since part of the years. And also had Mr. Tebow was there, and and they also have hired a new gentleman who they brought up from Florida with experience in closure proceedings, Plano and wetlands, and his name is Tony DeVito, the FEO. And Dave Adams, who works for DEP in Northside Tech, they're a consulting engineer, have walked the site. They have been working to address your concerns about the erosion, and I think that most of their concerns are in the southwest corner. And what they're planning to do this week, which I haven't heard has happened yet, is to do an aerial flyover and take a couple map of it, because what they need to do is they need to make some changes and revision in the berm in some places, and they need to do some reshaping of the path in order to address some of the erosion issues. And so they felt that they would have a much better view if they went to an aerial view in terms of what they're dealing with. They understand that they're having some issues with stormwater, and that's part of why they're doing this step, as they feel that that will help them be able to address some of the stormwater issues. The berm has to be built up around this west side, and they also have to get rid of the access road that's been required by DEP. The stormwater basin, completion on the crow lane side, they're hoping they won't have to do any blasting to finish that basin, and also to get under the road to put the culvert that's going to feed the burn pool. They're going to try, back at that talking with Theo just a little while ago, they're going to try this hydraulic drilling to try and prevent having to do any additional blasting. And they're going to see if that works first, because I think that will be less intrusive to the neighborhood also. They have some ancillary work to do regarding piping that needs to be ordered and installed before they can reconnect the new header system that is being required by DEP also. They said they anticipate that will take 3 or 4 weeks before they'll be ready to connect the new header system, but they have to connect to each of the individual wells, and there's 16 of them, and their transfer over from the old system to the new is critical. I'm very concerned about that piece as they make that transition, and they have assured me that they will let me know in advance of that step so that I can let the neighbors know that they can anticipate that there could be some problems with that turnover of the site. They were concerned that, they did testing of the outflow pipe, and I was told that there was nothing substantial. That one in the back that there were pictures of. Our health department has also tested that, and again, the color is really more of an oxidation as opposed to anything that we need to be concerned of.
they're concerned that well 7 was vandalized, some of the gaskets around it. So they haven't heard back, but they said that at the end of this week they will have tested all of the gaskets and everything on all of the wells to be sure that they're intact. And they thought that that might have contributed also to some of the problems with the increase in hydrogen sulfide. There were tire marks from bicycles and footprints around this particular well. I asked the police department if they could up, you know, like a couple times, 90 times during the night, particularly on nice nights, if they could take this as part of their drive and just be checking on what's going on at the landfill at this point. There were problems with that flaccid tray product, which is that grease stuff that makes the hydrocene rip that was guaranteed in terms of adhering to the actual cap to be able to have the seed take, and it hasn't in all places. So they're coming back to do some additional hydrocene work, and they hope that this time it will work. They also are working on a new stormwater letdown channel, working on movies on the sediment that is in the land around the landfill, and that process has started. Putting a new boom in place. They've begun to flag everything. Harry Rivers been out there. They feel very pleased about working with her, and I think you do too in terms of her skill. They now have 3 machine operators and a whole floor on site of laborers.
Are they moving the sediment? Are these
yes.
3 machine operators?
No, they're doing it by hand.
Okay, that's what they said earlier.
Yeah, doing it by hand.
Okay.
There really has been a substantial decrease in just the overall gas that's coming out of the system at this point. But I think we should be all set once the new header system is in place. Because the gas production system has been very stable over the last several months, and they will give me a weekly update on everything that they're doing. I asked them to start the process. I want the purple map done, and then would like to schedule a meeting with the community, the neighborhood, anyone interested in coming to hear about the closure process, and then we'll start talking post-closure and certification, all those kinds of things. So that's where we are.
What are they doing to prevent any more erosion? Until they get, you know, they're coming up with a new plan in the meantime.
They have new hay bales that they've been putting all over the place. And they're reinstalling silt fences, and so they're working at this point. This guy Tito was out there, they showed slides of how they put out new sections of hay bales, and they're trying to respond to the order, and that the, I think from the email, I hope all of you saw it, that came from Chip today, their attorney and I had pictures of all the different pieces of what they're doing in response to your order in terms of dealing with the erosion and the silt fences. So I think that on both the legal side that they've been responsive by hiring this new DPO and being responsive to your request, as well as the requests that I've had of them in terms of dealing with, tell me what's going on in terms of where we are with the closure process. So that's where we are.
Yeah, I gave a copy of that report from Chip to all of you.
The water really shouldn't be there, I guess it's clean coming out of that pipe. Under that little detention basin. It's flowing down the right way. But it's semi-permanent stream, it seems, which never used to be there.
Coming out of that back pipe?
Yeah.
Okay. It's flowing.
It's flowing
down back.
It's flowing through the berm around that detention pond and flowing down the building right away.
She's talking about that other down the
Okay.
And that there was never a stream there. The two of us. Yeah.
I would like to feel like that would anomaly.
Because if the city ever wants to have a pathway through there to access all of the open space that we have, it's a stream.
And maybe that will be also impacted because they understand that they have problems with stormwater, and that's what they're really trying to do by doing this top-up map and being able to reshape the berm, get rid of the access road, and do some of the letdown channel, getting to address some of the stormwater, and hopefully that will address some of what happened. I don't want to ask that question. Yeah.
Anything else?
You said that they're, you know, doing those token maps, so you can do some reshaping and, I guess, increasing the height of the berm.
Building up on that west side, no?
Yeah. Do we know how much material they're going to bring in for that?
I don't think they know that yet either, because I think that's what they're waiting for, the analysis of the, and they'll be working with SciTech on that as well as the EP approval before they do that. And if you think about that back access road, that's a pretty big road. I mean, Billy's been really reluctant to get rid of that road because he said, well, what happens if I've got to get out to that side of the landfill? But DEP has added that this access road has to go away. And so that's why, to get rid of that road and reshape and build up the berm, you just don't know yet. But you know, again, one of those weekly reports, I'll be sure I get that information.
They aren't going to have to break through the plastic liner to do this work, are they?
They're
not
going to do that.
Just asking.
Yeah. And when they did some of the other reshaping, they did not have.
So is that part of the reason why they need to get rid of the access road, just to give them additional area to do this reshaping and
regrading?
Yeah, to get the slopes right, because if you can't add that much more on there, unless you use those access roads.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anything else?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Back to the ordinance.
Okay, we're on page 5. At the bottom there where it says including tree removal. I think we're taking out that phrase from the parentheses if we're all okay with that.
Yeah, one general question I had is why do we add so many of these new exemptions and exceptions to the ordinance as opposed to just putting them in the regulations?
I mean, part of it comes down to the council feeling comfortable with it. We're going to try to look at the exemptions that are in there. You can put something in the regulations. You can go further to give some exemptions from there. I think in this case, the council is going to be looking for some of these types of exemptions to be addressed now, so they're going to be addressed later on, and that's going to give them a little comfort when it comes to voting. So that's the reason why a lot of these things are in there to address that. I know there's a question about some of the things I'm falling out of, we'll get to. But again, largely this is to make sure that everyone's aware of what types of things are not being considered, what types of things definitely are considered. So I think, you know, in these cases, some of these things are actually important to call in here, so there isn't any confusion later on, because, you know, essentially for the council, what they're doing is they're handing off, well, the commission can't do something that's completely the opposite of the ordinance. They're handing off some authority to the commission to establish regulations after that, and they have to feel reasonably confident that their constituents, you know, issues will be addressed and things that might come up frequently for them. Not that they're necessarily approved, but that there's clear language in here as to how it's going to be addressed, whether it is regulated or not regulated. So I think it's important that we have those things in here because these things will come back to, you know, to sort of cause more issues later on if they're not in the ordinance.
Okay.
Number 3, removal of dead and dying trees. Mm-hmm. And at the end there says document the commission within 31 days. Does that mean 31 days before?
Within 30 days of the removal. So this is documentation to the commission after this was a tree warden in case that this is actually a dying tree. So the tree warden goes out there verifies the dying tree. Within 30 days of that removal, after that removal, they have to notify the commission that this has been done. So this is a, you know, like a hazard tree or something that's going to fall into someone's house.
Yeah, we didn't have issues before along the Merrimack where somebody wanted to remove a dead tree.
Yep.
And they couldn't because it was habitat for the eagles.
Right.
So.
And we're not going to need anything to do with that. You want to make it clear in here that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that one should be in there as an exemption.
I don't really like it as an exemption either, because tree could be falling into the wetland, they just don't like it, and they go and pull it out.
Well, I mean, we have a new tree ordinance that's about to go into effect that defines what hazard trees are, requires tree ordinance certified, and maybe we should clarify that this is only trees that are deemed to be hazard, and a public safety hazard will fall on a person, will fall on a house, will fall on something that's actually a threat, as opposed to just a regular one. So I'll be granted, unless we can just have a tree of that clarification.
Yeah. Well, then, with the open protection, if you say they can do it in a resource area without telling us, but, you know, other...
Yeah, wouldn't that be a...
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a violation?
Well, that's why I'm thinking that this would act, because there are the Wetlands Protection Act regs already in place, but this is something that would apply to our additional areas of protection. So within our, like, no disturb area, or within the buffer zone, which isn't as regulated under the Wetlands Protection Act,
mm-hmm.
This would kick in.
Then,
Then
I think we might want to make that clear, because somebody could read this, you know, and not necessarily go to
Well, it's saying in any resource area. It's not specifying, it says anywhere.
I would suggest adding afterward dying trees, which are deemed a hazard to public safety. Right. And then you want to say, as confirmed by the report, Department of Public Services, /tree workers, or you certify others.
And I guess if they're going to be going through all that, to do it, why is it so difficult to not notify the commission at the same time? Why do we have to wait 30 days for it?
I mean, it's the hazard trees, I think, is the main concern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's the ones that are, there's not enough time to notify the commission to prevent the hazard impact. So those are the ones that need to be progressing. The hazard trees, people have to come to the commission.
No. They're taking the time to call in a...
Oh, but that's different than waiting, you
right.
know, 2 weeks for a hearing.
Hearing process. You could have notified the agent, you know, could be done prior to...
Well, that's all I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Is
oh, okay.
Notifying the agent is notifying the commission, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. We could add a requirement that they notify the commission agent prior to the work, because that's something that can be done anytime.
Right.
Notification and documentation provided to, how about this, with notification and documentation provided to the commission prior to removal?
Well, again, so the documentation, it depends on how much of a hazard it is. I mean, notification, yes, documentation, and that is
true. Right. Okay.
So the notification shall be provided to the commission agent, commission board's agent.
Yep.
All right, and then on the bottom of that page, item number 4, at the end of the sentence there, we were going to cross out as flush or below ground.
Yeah.
Just because it didn't really need to be there. Top of page 6, just correcting that grading.
Oh, regarding is regrading?
Yes.
Yeah. We're obviously finished that one. Okay, this next one, which is item number 6, which is conversion of lawns and next gen patios and pools. We talked internally about taking out some of this language. One thing that I think is worth noting, there's some language in CMR that actually is the exact same language. If you don't mind barely get the technical to grab that, but there's some language in CMR.
You all wanted to, you were questioning whether or not we should put that in the regulations instead, this conversion of lawns, decks, sheds, patios, and pools. Located more than 50 feet. And you suggested putting that first sentence in the regs and leaving the second sentence, the last sentence, the conversion of structures or other impervious services accessory to existing single habitation.
One question I had on page 7, why are we getting rid of the, let me get down here, the part where it conforms with any performance standards, the last sentence in the red out area. Why do we want that caveat in there too? Since we have performance standards on Plum Island and such, that's going to...
I'm sorry, you're talking about the cross-off?
The cross-off area, yes.
Yeah.
The last part of that.
You're saying why are we taking that last part out of the performance standards?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's covered in 1 above this new section. It's just that we replaced the language with slightly different language, so then we crossed out what we had before. So, provided that notice is given to the commission prior to commencement of work, and provided that the work conforms to any performance standards and design specifications and regulations adopted by the commission. So, what happened was we had this in our existing exemptions, but then we kind of replaced the entire exemption section, and that's why this is crossed out, but we've actually replaced it with the same language above.
That's just in utilities and
for
roads.
Utilities, which is what this is also, maintaining and repairing prison structure.
Well, I'm just saying in general, why don't we have it covering all these exemptions? So if we have a performance standard, the exemption doesn't apply.
We didn't have that in before either. This only applies to public utilities, this sentence from our previous one.
Okay.
So, I'm going to look.
What type of performance standards would be?
I guess my concern is in some cases where are we going to be creating confusion with regards to the performance standards on Plum Island by putting in all sorts of exemptions?
Well, I mean, if the performance standards in here are always going to apply to the lab. That's not exactly
general. Well, I'm just saying in general, any performance standards should...
You mean if you drop the new performance standards in the regulations that are for Plum Island, say, that are not in the ordinance right now?
I'm just more concerned about someone seeing an exemption as applying to Plum Island that would that may violate the performance standards. Is it? Yeah. Good. Oh, yeah. No, I understand. I just want to finish this one issue.
I see what you're saying. In other words, like, so conversion of lawns, decks, sheds, patios, pools, something like that, is that going to be considered an exemption on Plum Island as well as in other resource areas? That's a good question. We could put something like notwithstanding existing performance standards for Plum Island Barrier Beach, something like that. These exemptions
apply.
You know, just at the beginning of the exemption section, we could say notwithstanding, or however the right terminology would be, nothing in this section shall be taken to exempt activities that would be in violation of the performance standards for Plum Island Barrier Beach. Something like that.
Yeah, anything like that.
You see what we're talking about, Andy?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where to plug it in. But yeah. No, I think that's reasonable.
Maybe just at the beginning of the section as sort of overarching.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think right at the very top, 6.5.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. Yeah. Two very different.
We'll just make sure that line is not the standard. Very clear in here that Plum Island always, those regulations always are in place, regardless of this.
Right, but that would clear up any possible
confusion.
Okay. All right, let's table this for now. And do I hear a motion with regards to the public hearing?
Motion to recess the public hearing.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right. First one is Mark Batchelder, 5211 Plum Island Turnpike, amending order of conditions.
Make it the
27 by 32, and we're also requesting a 8 by 12 deck off the living room using the existing bulkhead foundation as a support for it to satisfy the building code for a second exit.
Got anything else? Other questions? Okay. Anybody from the public?
Yeah. Motion to approve.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Julia.
I'm just wondering if it makes sense to just vote now, because it's not an order of conditions that we need to discuss.
Yeah.
It's just an amendment, and it's done.
And I don't think there's any additional conditions.
There wouldn't really be any conditions, because it's just a
amendment.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to close the hearing anyway, so. Motion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. So, thank you. Next item on the agenda is David Janko and Company, Construction Advisors, 1850 Fifth Street. Notice of intent.
Some photos. tied into the elevation, so that'll help.
Do you want the certified?
The certified elevations?
Mount.
Oh, the certified mailings? Yeah, you can give them to me tonight or another time. It doesn't matter. If you have them.
And that may help explain the we're good north, south, east, and west on the photos there. This is the east side of the lot here. So east, west, north, south. Again, this is a single family dwelling with decks, et cetera, on a concrete block foundation. The foundation is exposed, therefore the city's deemed it habitable space. What these guys are proposing to do is to raise the house, tear it down, and construct a new three-bedroom single-family dwelling. We would like to have a bedroom. Approximately the same location, and obviously everything built on either a foundation of steel or wooden planks. The numbers come out as far as decks, building, all the cottages, et cetera, were negative 184. So we feel like it contributes well to the site. With 184 square feet less impact than we did have. Technically, we don't have to provide vegetation. However, the topography on the east side does slope here, as you can probably see on the photos, etc. This is a sloping topography. So we are planning on revegetating this side of the lot. There is really very sparse vegetation on there now. So, but we did feel like stabilization should take place there. The lot slopes from elevation 9, which is here. So this is the edge of the, this is the transition between the A and the C zone, this line. And again, from 9 to 12.4, so it is a sloping lot. You can probably see that on the photos and on the section views. Currently, the driveway is kind of scattered around. The site's very lightly vegetated, lots of gravel in these areas. Boardwalk, flagstone walkway here. We'd like to do away with all this and focus the driveway on the front of the lot. We plan on doing that with, we'd like to use the place of timber pilings to border the lot, to border the driveway. 6 inches of gravel base with 4 inches of crushed stone. But again, instead of a kind of willy-nilly parking that's there now, we would like to focus it to the front of the building. That's really the site issues. Again, elevation 9, and this is the high side of the lot on the east side. We're primarily in the same location. However, we have shifted the building to the north and to the west. One thing that accomplishes is that there's a very close setback on the rear here, and also this curve in the street. We would like to also get the building back off of that. It's physically not there, but on paper it is. So we did feel like this was a better sighting of the building. However, the majority of the building is in the same spot. Obviously, when we demolish the foundation, footings, etc., there's going to be, a space left. And we're proposing to match the topography around that area, and that will also be the planting area. So topography will run from about 12.4, 12.6 to roughly 10 in that area. We feel like the beach grass planting we're proposing does stabilize that. As far as overall elevations go, the first floor of the structure is at 19.8 NGBG. All proposed deck structures will be at roughly between 15 and 20, and at least 5 feet above the highest adjacent grade. Utilities will be placed inside the dwelling. Finished floor, elevation 19.8. We're proposing the typical kind of clay chase for the sewer and water facilities. I think you guys have seen those on the island. Just chases up into the building from the underground trenching and then up into the best spot. We are proposing a 3.6 by 3.6 entry landing on pilots that will give the owners access from the ground to the interior. And we are staying within that 3.6 by 3.6 parameter. The proposed will be heated to with gas stove. So we're asking for a basic 9 by 9 square foot pad for those gas cylinders. Those will be placed on the west side. And typically what we've been doing really for flood prevention or any kind of issues, we've been chaining those to the one of the pilots. We find that that's an effective way to stop them from floating down into the basin or uptown or wherever.
That's a plus.
And the gas company, we haven't had any issues with the gas company doing that. We're not proposing to remove any beach sand. On the contrary, we'll be bringing the beach sand in to fill that foundation area. And again, the topography will match our site drawings that we've shown. Dumpsters, construction, et cetera, will all occur on the front of the building where the proposed driveway is going. And basically where the existing driveway is now, it's kind of an undefined area, but there'll be no disturbance of beach sand with construction, beach grass, excuse me. And again, a replanting on the east side, again, we figure will contribute. Typical replanting schedule on the beach grass. I think that about covers it. Anybody have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I missed it. Is there going to be a utility shaft needed for this?
We're using that allowed area to provide an interior landing on the ground so they can have a stairway up into the building. Utility is going to go inside the house. And on the ground, I think the best place to see it is, I think maybe the rear split section here for the, south elevation and the transverse section would be the best place to see that. That's on page 83. That's also shown, that transverse is also showing the clearances, etc.
So it's not a utility chase, it's a access stairwell and landing?
That's correct, yeah. The sewer, again, the sewer line and the water lines, in a separate clay pipe, which is basically what we've been using, normally hugging one of the panels.
Yeah, I think we've been having a lot of 2x3 buildings that are going to be like a 9x9 or 7.
No, 3x6x3.
For the stair, the total size of the stairs.
That's basically the landing, and then the stairs go up from there, nothing enclosed underneath.
Oh, they're not enclosed stairs?
Yeah, they're enclosed at the bottom, but they don't go to the ground. In other words, the bottom of the stringer, again, I think that section view shows it the best. The bottom of the stringer is insulated and covered, but it's not contacting the ground.
Can you point that out on there for us? I'm not, so everybody can see it.
So that's it there, here. And then this goes up, but it doesn't make any, it's not covered from here to here. It's simply insulated from underneath and closed in.
Okay.
That's the 3x3 door landing, and then the stairs go up. This is covered underneath, but it doesn't go to the ground. So the section's open to the left underneath the stairs.
That's not shown on the, but it's not shown here on the south elevation.
Well, we just didn't want to confuse the drawings. Typically, you know, it's got it on the east. Normal architecture, you know, but he's got it in there, but
yeah,
it doesn't want to drive it in.
Where's the utility chase?
The clay pipe utility chase is really behind one of those piles. Is that exactly?
Well, this looks like it's going over on this. It's going to be in the middle here.
If you look on the site plan,
this elevation is but it's not shown in the other. Right. It's the only shown in this elevation. Yeah.
So this is, so we're saying one of the bodies, it's like the skirting. It's going to be skirting now.
This is all open here. This one, just for the record, this is a correction on the NGVD grades.
Oh, it's not the same that we have?
Yeah, because we just got that recently. I noticed
it.
I had them tie it in correctly.
Okay.
We had it backwards.
Okay.
So that one's the record.
All right. Thank you.
Well,
Mark,
is something on here that would lead me to believe that this lot would come in the water.
Was that the water?
Yeah. The fact that there's seagrass growing.
I'll address the owner. They've been there for a long time.
My wife, she's been there for over 50 years. So.
I didn't know what you said about
the
water.
Well, it's labeled as having seagrass growing on it, which doesn't grow on dry land. It grows underneath the ocean.
I'm sure they
meant labeled as seagrass?
It's labeled as seagrass, yeah.
Actually, that house used to be on the ocean front. It was moved down here, so no water has touched it since it's been there.
We've had this discussion before.
Yeah, I did, to be honest, I don't know why the survey would put seagrass in rather than the beach grass.
Yeah.
But,
worse. I didn't realize it.
I think that was a lousy description.
We have 2 A3s in the.
Yeah, I have 2 3As also.
You do?
Or A3s.
Yeah. One of them that are different.
Yeah, we did make a correction on the A3.
One has the grades.
Yeah.
And this is all the corrected one.
What has it? This is the correct one?
Yeah, that one you have incorrect it. Where it says grade elevation 9.0,
yeah,
please. That should be 12.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it looks everything's correct.
C seagrass. Wouldn't that be marsh grass and swamp grass?
I think it's what turtles eat, actually.
First floor is at 19A.
First floor is at 19A. The flood elevation is not. And again, that's the board, that's the edge of the A zone at the west side of the lot. The majority, 95% of the lots in the C zone, and all construction is in the C zone. I think as far as the stairway goes, the best plan to look at would be A4, the ground floor plan.
That's right.
And that shows that entry area.
So where in there would the utility pipe go?
Again, hanging one of those pylons probably at that suspended storage area.
Oh, okay.
I don't have an A4.
I don't have A4 either.
Is it in the front?
Is it?
Yeah, check that. It's
they're
not in the front.
Yeah, I didn't put them in order, so. It's right after E1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I tried to go sequential for basically you guys. you have the A4?
Yeah.
Yep. So what is the size of that concrete pad?
It's not a concrete pad really, it's four wooden driven pylons with a deck on top of it, so we're not pouring any concrete.
Oh no, I thought you mentioned a 9x9.
And it's 3.6x3.6.
It's labeled as a 12-inch thick concrete slab.
Yeah.
It is? Because on the section view,
the section view made first section?
Yeah. Okay. My apologies. Yeah. Oh, and two 4 timber pylons. Okay. So there's no footing. He's putting a slab on top of it, on top of the pylons. There's no footing, so therefore there's no full excavation. Sorry about that.
So the bottom of the stairs is a concrete pad?
Yes.
It's not a
foundation. It's not a foundation. I guess that's
it. It's not on the ground?
It's not on the ground.
It's on the ground, yes.
Oh, I thought it was.
Yeah. No, on the ground with 4 pylons on the earth.
Because I think the plan shows the stairway up to it. On the A4.
It looks like there's one step.
There's one step up.
Yep.
So maybe it's just a step and then a landing and then step.
Landing and then a turn. Yeah.
Well, there's a well, what is that? And we need a concrete pad. Do we need a concrete pad?
Not necessarily. No. That could be wood. Could be pressure treated deck.
No, I think we could have cheese.
Yeah.
Driveway or parking space.
And it does help because it prevents people from driving, widening the driveway to basically by crossing. But I do know that the 6x6 is happening allowed as a container. And we feel it does work better with gravel, stone, and then that's it. You're not driving over the thing.
Mm-hmm. Like right now on that site, it's hard to tell what's driveway area and what's vegetated area. Yeah. It's just all sort of mangled.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we felt it contributed well. It was just a focused driveway. Uh-huh. The rest of the site can do its thing as far as, the typical growth is going to occur other than what we're planning.
And one more thing on stairs, you have the interior set of stairs, underneath.
Yep.
And then you have two sets of exterior. That's west elevation.
Yep.
No, okay. I didn't know what one of those.
Yes, two means of egress from the first floor deck.
And you're saying in here the minimum distance between the ground and the skirt or any other part is going to be 3 feet?
It's 3 feet. We do have that on the, A4. We do have a suspended storage area in there, but again, it's everything's. Actually, we're showing 2 feet above the highest adjacent grade.
We're just saying you're not.
We were under the impression beach grass is actually what was wanted, so that's why we got
it. Oh, no, any of the.
It's okay. Yeah. Certainly, probably the majority of it you want beach grass, but if you did want some shrubs, there are some choices that you can make.
That's fine. Good. But we were just trying to comply with it.
Right. Yeah. But again, given the location.
That's become one of the kind of buzz plants down there, except that everybody thinks it is native.
Yeah, we're just saying you're not limited to the grass. It's
as I said, we'll go along with.
If you change it, just send a note. If it's not going to be the beach grass as proposed, just send in a note. And I'll just add it to the file. So it's a minor. I can sign off on it.
We can just highlight the species that we use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's a listing of what you recommend?
I'm sure we might in the office. I can look for it. And I'm sure that people
are I'm sure once it gets done, I would be happy to call in somebody to tell us what the work has to do.
I've got a good list, actually.
You can.
We'll plant some cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, how there was, so.
Actually, it would be nice.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Anything from the public? Yeah. What do we want to do?
Yeah, I don't know, before we do that, did we want any updates on the plans?
Yeah, I think we were looking for some updates, like the footing, the stair footing, or, you know, the landing.
Yeah, exactly. That was not terribly clear.
You want to go to the wood pad there, I think?
I think we avoid putting concrete in the ground.
I looked them up on the website. They didn't have any comment. However, I know how that works.
Did you get a DEP file number?
We got a file number. To be honest, I didn't record the number, but it is available on the web.
Okay.
And again, their comment was no comment, which we always like to see.
If you could change the seagrass to bluegrass.
Yeah, that too.
Get the turtles out of there.
Yeah, you know what? They're really tough to get rid of if they get in there. Anything else? We do have a motion on a. Yeah.
But, you know, then again, do we want to see these updated plans before we close?
Yeah.
So then we should continue.
Do you need to see an updated? What do you need to see the updated?
Well, they're giving us updated plans. Did you want to close it?
Well, it seems like if the only thing you're asking for to be updated is the change from a concrete pad to a wood composite or something, then that could be provided after, because it's not a change in the scope of the project. It's not something that you guys would need to discuss. I mean, it's up to you, but that seems like something that they could just submit after you.
You can make a condition
that the
we get the drawing, and you have your conditions. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'd have it before that.
Right.
Thank
you. In that case, do we have a second?
Sorry.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You want these guys now?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda is Timberline Enterprises, LLC, 23 Low Street. Notice of intent. Timberline, I presume? You're up. Yep.
So I can just stand in front of the room, or
You're probably okay there.
Okay. Good evening. I'm Adam Costa. I'm with the firm of Blackman, Dabrowski, and Mead. I'm a colleague of Lisa Mead, and we represent the applicant, Shimmerline Enterprises, LLC. You have before you a notice of intent. A lot of the project team to introduce themselves, for the record.
I'm Tom Adams, the Thomas Adams Brokering. We have a civil engineer on the project.
Patrick C. Camp of C. Camp Environmental Consulting.
I'm Chris Costello. I'm president of Timberline Enterprises in Austin. Thank you.
So this is a first stop on a number of stops we're making, not only to the commission, but also to the planning board. We have a complete review schedule, site plan, major site plan review application tomorrow evening, and then subsequently a public hearing on that application 2 weeks from tomorrow. We also have a number of applications for special permits and variances that are pending before the zoning board. That hearing is scheduled for May 22nd. And all of this relates to a project for redevelopment of what you probably know as the Overland Marina site, currently being used for marine storage, repair, sales, service. We are proposing a modification to the site to be used for what is qualified in your table of use regulations as wholesale, specifically the wholesale of lumber. Lumber and associated materials. We're also seeking a special permit for incidental retail because we've got a small component of the operation that sells some incidental retail that's associated with the lumber operation. So what I'll do in this phase, I'll turn it over to Tom to describe for you the specifics of this project and why we're before the commission, and then if you've got additional questions, either for the engineers or for me, we can address them at that time.
Where's the best spot for me to set up?
Probably up front here, okay. So everybody can see it. Yes?
We received notices to this development.
Mm-hmm.
And is there some time during the meeting that we can speak about?
Yeah, after the presentation.
Thank you. Again, I'm Tom Mineta from Thomas Mineta Incorporated. As Adam said, this is 23 Low Street, currently Overland Marine, which is a boat storage and repair facility. There's three existing buildings on the site. It's one, two, and a small building over here in the corner. Our proposal is for redevelopment. We're proposing a lumber yard. Our development proposes four structures, which is in this tan color, one, two, three, and four. Two of the units of the structures will be drive-throughs. In other words, when the wholesale customer comes in, there'll be doors at each end of these structures that come in, there'll be lumber on each side. The other two structures, this structure, 80% of this structure are three-sided facilities, so the front will be open. Again, when the customer comes through, the lumber will be in here, and they'll load the truck and leave. The drainage out here, the proposed drainage is to utilize, we're proposing to utilize as much of the existing drainage that's out there. I know most of the members, if not all, have been out there at some point. So there's a series of catch basins, drain manholes. That's actually a detention basin. And there's a detention basin out front. Of course, you have these drainage structures that just let the water pass through in the middle of the site. We're not proposing to touch any of these structures. We will be adding some water to this structure and redesigning the outlet control of this structure. Right now, it's an 18-inch pipe, so the water basically comes in and goes out. The drainage calculations show a reconstruction of that outlet. From an 18-inch to an 11-inch to control some of the runoff within the site. The biggest impact I think that we've had on this, the biggest positive impact we've had on this site is that you can see on the site the green is proposed grass area. So right now that site is either pavement or compacted gravel where the boats are all stored on. We're proposing to remove the gravel and put in some loam and seed it. So again, we changed the CN factor of the site. We've been able to also pull back this oval, you know, circular oval driveway actually comes up to here right now. These dash lines on the plan. We're actually pulling back 110 feet. So we're pulling that pavement all back. So again, we've reduced the amount of pavement to mitigate the additional roof areas. The overall green space, which on this project is an addition of just about 64,000 square feet, will be changing from either pavement or compacted gravel to grass. We've added some parking area in front of the site, in front of the existing building. It's a gravel parking area now. We're proposing to pave that, also put a berm around it, and a cape cod berm, and direct that to a catch basin. Whereas now, I think it just puddles up there. There's a couple of structures that need to be rebuilt in this area that have sunk and are puddling. So those will all be addressed at the time of the site construction. On this plan, the yellow, they're very close, but you can see the yellow outline is the edge of the wetlands. The brown, just inside that, is a proposed erosion control. And again, the green is proposed lawn. The gray area is the existing and proposed pavement. The brown, the light brown, is the proposed structures, and then bordered ones are the existing structures. As far as the presentation, obviously address any questions.
Are you intending to rehab that detention basin in the upper right corner there?
Yes.
Because that, yeah, that whole thing is a mess right now. But
right.
There's also, from a site visit, you can see when you're standing down next to that thing that there's pretty much a big downhill run across pavement from the rink across the street, too. It's all, like, straight downhill and yep. into that area. I hope there's going to be some good size changes to that.
Right, exactly. We'll be changing the grades in here a little bit, as you know, being out there, it wasn't very well constructed. And again, one of the biggest problems out there is that they have an 18-inch outlet. There's no control at all. The water comes in, goes out. So we're going to control that water to reduce some of the peaks out here.
Is the catch basin on the northeast corner of the site to be reconstructed?
Yeah, the one that's sunk now, you mean when you drive in? Yes.
Okay. So that'll all be will be re-engineered?
Any of those, yeah. And we have an existing invert, a proposed invert, and rim schedule on the plan. So those will all be adjusted based on the new site plan.
Is there any proposed grading changes other than in that front portion of the property?
No, most of this driveway is existing. So we're maintaining those grades. We've changed this area again. This actually extended out to here. So basically just pulling that back, removing the catch basins that are right here, and relocating them here and here. So there's some minor grade changes here, but the site's all right around 20, you know, 20.2, 20.8.
Yeah.
That whole upper area is, you know,
it's like
a foot of grade change over that whole area there.
So the catch basins, when we were out there, it seems like all the pipes leading to the big basin there and for the pass-through thing, whatever that is, pretty much they seem to all have shrubs growing out of them. Are the when you're talking about the gutter lines and to catch basins, is all that water heading off north? Or I'm confused as to where all the runoff is going to go, or how it's going to be managed on the site.
From the buildings, from the center line of buildings back, it runs back off the site. But the water that's controlled by this within the berm area, 90% of it actually goes out through here, through that structure. And that's, we haven't changed the direction of flows. We've removed catch bases here and added them down here. We put a high point in the paving right here, so this goes that way and that goes that way. So overall, the drainage where it went before is where it's going to go now. And the biggest change is removing some of that gravel and pavement.
Mr. Chairman, just a point to clarify. None of the areas in here, we can't touch any of that. Mm-hmm. That's, as you know, included within the BBW designation. So there's some vegetation in the bottom of each of these two units. Those aren't going to be touched, mm-hmm. No doubt. But the maintenance, there needs to be a scheduled maintenance on the front catch basin. And we did notice that there were some small trees and shrubs that were growing out of the side of that structure that can be plucked out.
Right. The center one, too, had some small stuff growing out, too. I don't know what, if any of those lines end up in that center thing, either. I don't know if you've traced any.
They all end up in this structure here.
They all end up there.
Yep. That is just, I'm not really sure what that is other than to just let the water go back and forth. None of the drainage is sent in. Obviously none of the runoff goes up. It's above grade of the wall. So, and all of these catch basins, other than the two that head this way, they're all connected to that existing basin.
This center system is not being touched at all or changed. And that primarily conveys water from the east side to the west side.
Okay. There are some, if I remember right, there are some pipes going in on the north and south sides of those those walls that are all filled in. I don't know what.
I think that was some type of drain for those walls. It's talking about those 4 inches.
Do you think it's just a drain for the wall?
I think so, yeah, because they are not tied into any of the catch basins or drain manholes.
All right.
There's one issue that when looking at the... we proposed 5 oak trees to be planted toward the back of the site in the area that's being pulled back and restored. But ultimately, the location of these, I think more appropriately, are closer to the back of the fence line as both a visual, break barrier there. And also, we're talking about the snow storage issue and the practicality of moving snow. And when you have a heavy snow year, it's always better to design something that is actually going to be used on the ground. And so the actual better snow storage area for the yard is going to be in this area right off the end of the pavement. So ultimately, these oak trees would be pulled back about to the outer extent of the old ghost shadowing of that old edge of pavement that you see. So we do anticipate that. That's not shown on this plan.
Okay.
The runoff from the roof was 2 long sheds, since it flows to the back?
Yeah, half will go in this direction, the other half will go onto the street to pick up in the catch basins.
And the same with the other people in this?
Yes, yep.
Oh, yeah, so they all have pitched roofs.
Correct.
Both ways.
Yep.
Can I assume they'll be gutted down to the ground?
In the backs or in the fronts? The front we just provided, what we proposed on this plan is just a gutter line. That, along the gutter, we'll just follow this gutter line right into the catch basins. In the back, we just anticipated that it would sheet off the back of the building. And I think that potentially the gutters would be, that's a pretty long building to have a gutter on. And I think you're better off spreading it out rather than trying to point.
I guess I'm concerned about the erosion and everything that's going to happen after a big rain with it.
Yeah, I think that, once the grass is established over here, I don't think we'll have that issue.
In essence, we almost have like a bio-grass area. So as the water sheets off the roof, it's a drip line, and it just sort of level spreads out, off, and eventually, as you know, the site is primarily a filled site, so you have a side slope at the property boundaries, and it's just going to sheet flow as it does now off to the back. And so we don't anticipate that you're going to have a lot of velocity where this is dripping off the roof line.
do it either way, but you end up with like a point source. If you gutter it, you end up with like a point source.
No, I understand that. I'm just more concerned because I know before I put gutters on my house, I have a nice little impact zone from it coming off the roof. And right. I would expect that's going to happen there too. So.
Would it be at all, do you think there's room to add more than just the 5 oak trees? Or I'm wondering, with all that, it looks like a fairly large grass lawn area, if there's an opportunity to add more vegetation that would draw more moisture out of the ground. You know, anything we can do to use up some of that water before it, red maples or, you know,
something. You have a pretty significant vegetated edge here that actually, you know, you have areas where there are some small trees and shrubs at the back, sort of up against the Kiva Road property boundary. There's a couple of red cedars, there's some hawthorn back there, and so you have that. The oak trees, when they're mature, are going to be pretty big species, so they're designed to have that ultimate crown spread. Mm-hmm. So they're going to fill in, you know, they're not going to put them in, they're not going to be a, you know, 4 or 5 inch caliper tree for the cost of the situation. But when they're mature, they're going to have a big crown spread. They're going to be pretty mature. So, you know, you have a fair amount of native vegetation that also will likely to seed in, so we didn't propose any particular shrub plant. We do want to keep a fair amount of this portion of the site clear for the heavy snow years, and it just doesn't make sense to put a lot of shrubs in that are just going to get whacked and compressed every time that they plow. So we felt that the 5 oaks would likely provide the shading and the evapotranspiration that you were talking about.
Where the new buildings are going, are they on what is currently impervious?
More or less. It's they don't want to compact the gravel is where the boats are stored right now. So yes, I mean, it's not paved, yeah. But it's compacted gravel. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty rugged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The boats aren't sinking, so it's a pretty compact.
Yeah. That might. The main concern would be the runoff from those roots if it's closer to the edge, on the edge, the speed, the velocity of that would be faster and just take different turns. But
the pitch is, do you know what the pitch is? Is it a 4-pitch on those or 3-pitch?
It's very small.
Yeah. It's, oh. I mean, it's not a heavily pitched roof. I think it's like a 3-pitch, so it's.
Yeah. Oh.
It's a fairly flat, not flat, but a very shallow pitch group. So I don't think you're going to get, like, it's not like a 12 pitch where you're going to get that sheathing, you know, that high velocity sheathing action.
Yeah. One situation or solution there is at the back here, if the native material was left, if the loaming and grassing was pulled off, you know, a foot away from that drip line. That material that's out there is not erodible, is certainly able to withstand the raindrop, you know, compact erosion, and it wouldn't move. So, you know, we could pull back the loaming and the seeding area, like I'd leave a foot of space there. And the material that's there would be just like you were putting in a crushed stone barrier around the drip edge of your house. So that would solve that problem.
Were there run counts done?
Yes. Yeah. There's a full drainage submittal.
Oh.
You know, it's 210.25 and 100 just on the list. Yep.
Yeah. And, I was wondering if you didn't leave that foot wide gap for the long for the building, would that impact those runoff?
It would have a very minor. It's still going in that general direction, so it'd still be accounted for. But if we're accounting for the impervious area on the roof, so. And the time of concentration is only 24 feet. You know, it's about 20 to 24 feet behind, so it's a very short time anyway. So whether it was gravel or Yeah, that shot distance of gravel would make an impact. I would make a positive impact, but it wouldn't, it probably wouldn't show up in the actual calculation.
Well, something you might want to consider that you'd be thinking, you know, because I know what you're talking about when the water drops.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely do that. It's not, it's not.
You've got to tell that one.
It won't, definitely won't adversely affect our calculations.
And one other thing with regards to adding more trees and such is something that we're trying to do. We'd like to promote in the entire industrial park just as a, by any means necessary to slow down the water running down towards a little river. I think at some point we're going to try and really push it out there to, because it's a lot of the stuff's coming from this area and heading down into the lower areas of the park, and anything we can get to further slow it down, any added trees and such it's that much more of a benefit. It's almost like you put in a bunch of trees, it's almost like a detention basin because it slows down, especially when they're mature, it slows down the water quite a bit.
So trees behind the buildings, you know, kind of soften the view of the neighbors on either side, and there's also a traffic control or something more on the ground.
Okay, we can definitely add a couple trees behind each building. I know that the planning board initially has asked for some screening, you know, based on the rail trail. So, you know, one thing we could do is put some, you know, like two smaller trees maybe behind each structure. If we have about 20 feet, so we would, to try to keep it as far off the building, we push it towards the property line more than towards the building.
Just to let you all know, in terms of the stormwater accounts and all that, this is going to be before the planning board, and the city's peer reviewer for engineering and stormwater will be reviewing it, Christensen and Sergi. We'll be reviewing all this there's some water stuff. So that will be
great.
We'll have confidence in that. Yeah.
For informational purposes, did you use the TP40 or the Cornell numbers?
TP40. Okay. Go back to the detention basin in the front there. Mm-hmm. When we were out there looking at it, it appeared that the curbing that is essentially useless, the water is flowing right over.
Yep. All those things will definitely be addressed on the site plan. There'll be some new curbing wherever we need it. Again, we'll be adjusting all the rims of the structures so that that doesn't happen, so it's not blown by.
Anything else? Okay. Any questions from the public? Your name and address?
My name is Anthony Marino, and I'm an owner of a condo on the property that they're proposed to develop. I know nothing about this. I received a notice in the mail Thursday as an abutter. I'm not an abutter, I'm an owner. This project right now is basically going to place buildings on my condo, which I've owned for 20 years and paid taxes on. Now, this, as I say, is quite a surprise. I came here tonight to hear this because the whole thing is news to me. Everything I've heard tonight is news to me. I am not the only condo owner that's in this situation. None of us have been informed. The Overland Marine Condo Association owns the boatyard. We are condo owners in that association. I don't intend to sell my condo. I don't know whether they intend to build their warehouses over my condo or not. But they'll have to, unless somehow or other, by eminent domain or some other mechanism which may not apply, they plan to take my land. So I think that's a major problem here. The other major problem here is I've lived in this boatyard for 12 years, ever since it was built. And now proposing to put large structures with roofs that don't absorb water onto property, which at present is a well developed, absorbs water in the summer when the boats are out of there, is quite pleasant. Birds and other animals utilize that property. It really is more part of mine than it is the industrial complex that's being proposed here. This changes the character of the land and further industrializes land, which I don't think should be industrialized. I think, if anything, it should be left alone in its current purpose. I just say this because as much as this proposal would plant trees and put a few things back here and whatever, you're basically destroying most of what is now surface that can be utilized by animals and enjoyed by people, plus creating huge problems with rain runoff because of these large, ugly buildings. You're creating another area where, you know, enterprise can occur. It's another shopping mall, except this happens to be a little shopping mall. Do we want that in Newburyport? I think shopping malls should be put in areas where shopping malls belong. Maybe in Route 1, where they have a lot of industry over there and they wouldn't care. But in Newburyport, this is an eyesore. Next to the walking path, this is an eyesore. Next to the skating rink, which I think is a nice building, even though it is paved, this is an eyesore. This creates more traffic in a smaller area where you have, basically kids playing fields. Do we need that traffic? I don't think so. I mean, I think that the buildings that were built in the industrial park were a horrible thing because it increased traffic, and I'm not so sure they did anything to damage the loop report. So here we have something that's being presented that I found out on a Thursday night. I feel slighted because nobody called me, didn't call me. Nobody discussed these things with me. Everybody did discuss these things.
Are you the person that called me? No. The secretary called my office? Somebody's secretary called my office.
We're not going to get into it. First of all, we can't make that sort of decision. We got to go by the Wetlands Protection Act. So we're not going to make any decision whether it can be built or not.
Okay.
It's probably more of a appropriate thing to bring to the Planning Board and Zoning Board of Appeals. But
is that tomorrow night?
I don't know when they're.
May 16th. May 16th is the opening of the Planning Board hearing on site plan review. And there's a follow-up meeting on May 22nd, which is in front of the Zoning Board.
Is that here?
They will both be in this room.
Is it going to be announced? Somebody send me the...
You will receive notice consistent with the Zoning Act. You receive notice probably has not been mailed yet, but you will get notice in advance of both of those meetings. It will require notice to all abutters within 300 feet of the property.
Yeah, and somebody will explain to me how they can take my property and do this.
Well, with the commission's permission, I would like to address that once you're finished with your comments. And I would like to apologize first and foremost to you. But certainly, as the commission is certainly aware, when applications are made to the commission, whether they be notices of intent or otherwise, we're required to not only provide the applicant's signature, but also the property owner's signature and exhibit site control. We've done that here. We've provided the application is in the name of Mr. Costello on behalf of Timberland Enterprises LLC. He has signed the application form. We've also provided a signature on behalf of the condominium trust. Now, I understand that the property is held as a condominium. It's sort of a unique condominium where each of the individual slips, so to speak, are condominium units or common areas, exclusive use areas within a condominium that was created a number of years ago. We were of the impression and continue to be of the impression that we had the permission to proceed with the project. As I said, we do have a sign-off on behalf of the condominium trust, the association of unit owners for the condominium. Certainly the burden is on the applicant, and will continue to be on the applicant, despite any approvals that have been issued by this commission, by the planning board, by the zoning board, to ultimately gain site control. The project can't be built if site control is not established. Title is not an issue that can be resolved through the commission. It can't be resolved through the planning board or through the zoning board. If Mr. Costello doesn't have a good title to the property, the project can't be built.
I believe we have deeded
And I'm happy to discuss that. I don't know that the commission is the right place, but we're certainly happy to engage in those discussions with this gentleman outside of the public hearing, and certainly happy to address those comments and concerns before the planning board or the zoning board to the extent that they have similar concerns.
But I just like, if this sort of oversight has already occurred, what sort of oversight has happened with you already? I don't like what I see.
Well, I'd like to address the comments concerning the use of the property, and certainly, sir, you're entitled to your opinion, and I won't dispute that. What I will say is that it's interesting that the current use of the property qualifies as marine sale storage service under your table of use regulations. Interestingly, that's not a permitted use in the district. I'm not sure of the history of this particular site or the use on the site. I'm not sure if somehow it is presumably qualified as a grandfather use somehow. What I will say is that the wholesale use that's being proposed for the site isn't allowed use in this district. It's been determined by the council when adopting zoning districts and permitting some uses in districts and other uses in other districts that this is an appropriate use of the site in the industrial island district. Wholesale use is allowed as a right. We don't even need a special permit. The only reason we're seeking a special permit is for modification to non-conforming structures and because of that incidental retail I made mention of. So the use itself is allowed as a right. I continue to believe, and I think that the engineers have supported through their explanation of the proposed improvements to the site, that it will be not only an aesthetic improvement to the site, but also from a wetlands perspective, will be an improvement with respect to drainage on the site.
Do buildings qualify as improvements to an aesthetic site?
We're adding 64,000 square feet of new green space to a site that's currently compacted.
Do metal buildings qualify as aesthetic improvements to the site? I can address the site where I can put some grass in between.
Sir, we can't continue this for any longer. Any other public comment?
Yes.
Question?
My name is Daniel Harding. My parents own both 21 Wall Street and 19 Wall Street. This piece of property right here, and all this is good, it's back to Cuba. So we're going to move sides of this property. We're going to talk about the logistics of what we just heard. But I do have some questions for the engineer. First of all, you talked about your drainage area here. Catch basin in here someplace.
Yep, there it
is. In this area. For X number of years, that has not worked. Plain and simple. This water backs up over this green area that you have here and back into this apparent yard right here. It's a lake on a good way. To give you one example, you were talking about a flow, you mentioned a berm earlier based on this area right here. Again, it will be a retention to catch water flowing back this way. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's.
Do you want me to interject now, or do you want.
Yeah, I'll let you. Okay, let me give you one more. Okay. The gentleman made, the chairman made a very good point with the ramp over here and a hill flowing this way. Not the greatest flow. The greatest flow is out here. Pond Street, down. This flow right here. This is the actual flow that comes in this way and flows down through this and fills both this area and this basin. So it's not necessarily the rink, it's Pond Street coming down.
Right. What we've done, there's existing catch bases out here.
That's true. Right.
Which are not working properly. So part of our application is that those would be fixed. We've also added another catch basin in that area that you said is a lake.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually put a catch basin dead center of that area to address that runoff that we're talking about that fills that area. Right now it fills that area because it's exactly what we talked about. It's a compact gravel that does not reach. We are proposing pavement, but we're also proposing a catch basin in the middle of that to pick that up and redirect it through here, reconstruct this outlet control, which is not working properly, and center it in the existing pipe that's there. So, we were aware of your concerns, and I think Patrick brought it up at the sidewalk. I think you were at the sidewalk.
No, I was not.
No, at the end,
and we have addressed that since, and we did. No, we were already fixing these catch basins, but we actually added the catch basin and reconstructed this existing basin that it actually worked. It was installed. It probably hasn't worked properly since it was initially installed.
So, it appears that it is.
Were you suggesting that there's water coming across Route 1?
Yes, they
and down the low street and then onto the
if
driveway?
If you did the walk, site walk through, and I said at the last meeting, I think it was a week ago tonight, maybe not, I said you could go up to my property and walk the river back in and look at that. Across this lawn is not right here. There was a ditch at one time that was open that drained all these fields. The water came through here. If you look at this river banking over here, there's a granite inlet that lets the water come through under the river banking from Route 1 side and down off the cemetery hill.
Okay.
That allows that flow. That's where most of your water comes from, coming off that way. Okay? Traveling through here.
Yep.
I disagree with the gentleman's statement. This was marshland. This was farmland. This was hay fields. The hay fields. For many years.
Right.
The reason it's what hangs down is these ditches were not maintained. The water packed up and filled. Very simple. Once they're milled, this water drains. Look at the topography based on some of the construction that has taken place based on the new names. They have done this. It's just been back. For most of all these flails, all slope to these centers, they do us safe. You can look in some of the other areas, they also. The whole intent here was to catch this water that was sloping through here. Now, I'm not sure what the flow is going this way. If there is flow, I don't know. But if everything's going this way. You may be able to tell me better.
Well, yeah, there's also a ditch on this side of the property as well. But you're right, that these were set up to take this area and bring it through the site.
What they're capturing is they're capturing the major flow from Route 1. If you go on the other side of the walking path, there's always a railroad track. On the other side of that, you'll notice that this is in these waterway in here to catch Route 1, and this water flows this way.
Right.
Okay, and that captures it. You will see that there are drainage basins on Route 1 that do flow down into those bankings and catch that water. So your water that's coming in here, gentlemen, ladies, excuse me, is mostly some of this is all runoff from Route 1. Just friendly features of the choir, you may know that. But again, this is what's going on here. So again, this area is wet, and only because this flow hasn't been made. I'll leave it at that. As far as your runoffs here, I was going to ask you the distance. You told me you were 20 feet. Here's the distance. I was curious on that, but that's okay.
The closest one is 20 feet, and then it widens up.
You didn't mention this structure or this structure. Maybe that's tomorrow next meeting.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I said that these structures are outlined in the round. The proposed structures are solid, existing structures.
Will maintain? Will be maintained?
This will be maintained. This will be removed.
Yes, okay. That is sitting on the edge of the property.
Yep, it's, there's an open area, existing structure to be raised. So, yes, that will be removed.
I have one more question. Sure. This is based on your design.
Okay.
This entrance way. Sure, it's very close to the very size of the entrance way going in.
It is.
Yeah. Your line that you have here bordering this sits like exactly right on the boundary.
The berm is very close to the boundary. That's right.
The edge of that berm is on the boundary.
Yeah, at one point, right, now it's maybe a foot.
Pretty close.
So okay. Pretty close, no doubt.
Something to think about. We'll talk about it tomorrow night, and I'm willing to talk about it. There's traffic going through here, close of both lanes.
Yep.
Do not need ruts on this property.
We can definitely address that at the plane board or at any point. We've had a traffic study done. We've also had them what they call auto training, which shows every size truck that would go onto the site and relays it onto this actual area so you can see where the actual tire tracks are.
Okay. And yep. Sorry to you. Chairman, we'll talk tomorrow night about the radius turns right here. That are going out. I'll talk about the right side. And again, we're right now is the water flow in this area here. This is 19 Low Street. Fields here, there's water collection, and this water collects right through here. It's the same thing, it flows this way over. So, interested to see how that's going to be evolving.
Okay.
Again, we'll be back on because again, this again all slopes, again sloping back this way to this ditch right here. This water has been flowing this way. This way being Right. The way we have this laid out right now is to pick up all this water in hand. The berm keeps the water onto the pavement. Mm-hmm. The grade behind the berm is at the top of the berm, so that runs onto the pavement and into that catch base. So we've designed that to pick up that water that sits in this area. Now, yet, you know, a big part of that is because of that gravel area that hasn't been maintained, and the water just sits there.
But again, you have the catch base in someplace in there that catches this water, not hot water.
Right, it just through there.
But that goes back down into this massive.
The current regulations, they updated the regulations, and they are required to make it better than existing conditions. They're required to handle the stormwater.
Again, major areas that I'm worried about right now is this water here backing up into this basement. Mm-hmm. Right here.
Yep.
Okay. I'll tell you right now, open heating units taken. There is water, we do receive water coming in presently right now.
Into the basement?
Into the basement. And that was a concession when this was put in as a bulk yard X number of years ago. I'm not sure which the number is. But again, that was something that was maintained. We didn't want the water they were packing up. And that was told that these grades would be taken care of. And I'm sorry to say that didn't work.
Yeah, I don't think the grading is properly working properly up there. But, it's definitely been an area of concern, and we will definitely address that.
Just don't think that this one up here, we need roots to back, pointing down, as long as we got some way that we can capture that this is trench, catching back to this main flow.
Right.
Flows. We can send it back to the middle cell.
Okay. If you'd like to, you could come in and take a look at their stormwater report. It's got all the details and calculations in here. I don't know if it's something you're interested in, but it seems like it's a pretty big concern of yours. If you want to get the details, this is a public document, and it will be in the planning office.
I probably will be.
Okay.
Okay. I know this is a conservation meeting right now. I'm talking to
the definitely reach out there at some point.
I want to talk to the driveways.
Absolutely.
And let's talk about that parking.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Any other public comment? Okay. Yes, sir?
The gentleman made a statement that the...
Could I just have your name and address?
Frank Brainer. The gentleman made a statement that the soil is so compact that there's no perk in the area. Let me tell you that when I wash my boat, and I put the hose up there, and that water disappears like that. Now, you're going to be covering the area with sheds, and there should be a water study here. What would happen with a very heavy rain? If you were out there in this condition, you should go up and take a look at the erosion that's around the perimeter of that property right now. They talk about using the same drains. I don't know if the same drains will take care of it. I doubt it if you had a good storm. Again, about 100 years from, just a good snow.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Do we have any more questions? Comments? Any? No.
Are there updates that are being suggested to the plan? I've certainly heard references made to potential relocation of the trees, the five trees, you know, mm-hmm. located at the rear of the site. To be frank, we'd like some flexibility from the commission in allowing for the relocation without having to submit a revised plan only because we've got two more stops before the planning board and a fairly rigorous site plan review, major site plan review, as well as requests of the zoning board for multiple variances and special permits. So we're committing to planting at least 5 trees. We certainly would commit to a condition that would require additional appropriate planting as would be deemed appropriate based on whatever request the planning board might have or whatever modification the planning board might require to plan, including plantings at the rear of these buildings. But we would like the flexibility in being able to locate those trees where the other board deem it to be appropriate, understanding that we do commit to planting. We think it's an improvement to the site and we're going to do so, but given the snow storage issues and so forth, we would certainly be relocating them more toward the rear of the property, but the exact location we'd like to keep open.
Administratively, I would just sort of suggest that something like the location of the 5 trees further towards the wetland would be something that we could consider a minor correction to the plans that could be done with a letter.
Like I wondered earlier whether it was a little correction.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's something that doesn't actually require an amendment, so it can be done just through a letter.
We're also talking about adding some trees behind the buildings. And I think pulling the loam and seed and the wet and some of the good times from dropping on the existing whatever was there.
That was something that I thought might work for them, but they would have to verify that the runoff calculations still work, that it's not relying on that long.
And I think the answer from Tom was that he's fairly confident that it would affect the
calculation. Yeah, obviously our calculations rely on the loam, but I think that the foot or so of gravel is not anywhere.
So again, that's something that wouldn't either show, we wouldn't be showing a drip edge of existing compacted gravel on the plant, and it wouldn't show up anyway, but we'd certainly accept it as a condition of any order conditions of this commission decision.
And I do want to put in that my confidence in the TP40 is really not, there is none, because it doesn't reflect reality as it is now. The storms that are happening are far larger than the TP40 storms, and this is a sensitive area. I don't know if the if the city engineer is going to make you do calculations with Cornell numbers or not, but we've pretty much been requiring or we've been asking very strongly that folks particularly in the industrial park, do their calculations with Cornell numbers.
The drainage calculations actually went out outside consultant to review. So, they are designed based on stormwater management at that state. So, the modeling is done based on TR-55 and TR-40. So. We did not, as I mentioned before, we did not use Cornell. This is a redevelopment of an existing site. So, you're pre and post. The goal is to reduce the rate of runoff and logging, which we've done under stormwater management.
Close the public hearing.
All in favor? All right. Opposed? Okay. We're closed. We're going to go over whatever conditions we have after we're finished with the next item.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, pardon? We will recess for 5 minutes. Okay, we're all back. Let's resume this. Patricia and Michael Del Fumera. Two Harbor Street, notice of intent. Was I even close? Was I close on the pronunciation?
Pretty close.
Oh, I didn't get the A at the end?
I think, basically we have, I think, for you folks, a really simple little project. This house located at 2 Harbor Street. People are in the process. They have a purchase and sale on it. The site, the house actually belongs to the state, and they are purchasing. The yellow that I'm showing here on the front is an existing rampway. I don't know if you had a chance to take a swing by there or not. And off the back, the yellow is also existing. What we're proposing to do is to remove the ramp, build a small porch, enclosed porch on the front, a new staircase to the rear, and a deck on the second floor. The only actual work that has to take place on the stand, other than the removal of this material, the ramp in particular, is 5 tubes for support, 2 tubes back here to support the rear porch deck, 2 tubes here, one of which goes all the way to the second floor, and one here all the way to the second floor to support the deck. Obviously, it's on Berry Beach, which is why we had to come before you. And as it turns out, it's also in the out riparian zone. 100-foot lines in here, someplace in here. There's a lot across the street, and then you have the basin on the other side. So we're actually going to be decreasing the occupancy on the site by about 12 square feet. Presently, everything occupies 132. After everything is constructed on the ground, it will occupy 120. There's minimal vegetation on the site, mostly filled gravel, I would say. Somebody's putting gravel. Most of this material is all gravel. Black over here is a dumpster for during the construction rehab purpose. Black dumpster right there at the edge of the street. So I guess it's just no questions.
The footings. I thought we... Are you having issues with footings?
Right.
Like this?
Well, I think Andrew thought in this case that the given the location, given the fact that it's mostly sand, gravel, it's not on the ocean front, that the spread footings would be acceptable because it actually would be less damaging than vibrating them or driving them. Finally here. So I know it does show a spread footing, and I assume that was Andrew's reason for it.
So I think we've been having issues with DEP regarding footings. And
DEP didn't comment on this yet.
Could you hand it?
That's kind of interesting, I think, commenting on the spread point. I just did a solid concrete wall across the basin and they never made a comment. Kind of interesting the way they do that. Yeah, it could be argued in. That's what was proposed. I mean, that the spread on them. Well, I suppose if you went to, we could have an look at that, but I would suppose if you went to a 6x8. It would be sufficient to do the supports here. This is the only, really the only critical post to the whole business. It's that one holding up the second floor deck. These are minimal. There's no great support, no great weight there. So I guess, if you're really holding strong with that, I think I would request that you could include that in the order of conditions. And Andrew could submit you a construction plan, so I have to sign work.
put one into the...
That not to use the spread footing, so you'd have to give you a plan showing using regular timbers or piles in these cases. This is designed by Intercept to the architects.
Oh, okay.
It would be up to them. This isn't something somebody else would be able
to. Mm-hmm.
He's the architect on the project.
One time he said no
tunnel
tubes in the
woods.
That was a while
ago. I've used some of these recently. I've got enough carpets. But that's the EP. And it all depends on who opens the pack. Tyler.
Makes it difficult for us.
I understand that.
We've got to try and be as consistent as we can.
Right.
And
Well, it sounds like it's not a great deal to just use the wooden piling, so and I agree, you know, we just treat that as a petition.
Bill, can I ask that just to record on that across that mirror on this one as well?
Sure.
Bill, is there an additional expense associated with the piling versus the spread footings?
If they can arbor them in, or they can hand dig them, the difference in expense would not be significant. If they had to drive piles, yes, it would be significant. So this is a pile that's critical for that, in my opinion, in my past experience. And I think that's why Andrew used the spread.
You're saying you don't have a
pile
number yet?
I haven't found them. But there was no comments.
What is the phone number?
08768. Yeah, I checked it this afternoon.
Well, anything?
Well, you could approve the spread footings, and if DEP comes back from the asking grant, then we'll come back to you.
That's the bind we're in. We've told a lot of people that you can't use them.
Well, that's why I said to go it this way and make Andrew's got to come in with construction permits anyway, so we can make that part of your order.
Okay.
So what do you want the condition?
Yeah, I'm assuming
it's spread footings.
It's, yeah. Right. It doesn't set the number of drive because of piles, which you know, cost
nothing.
You can do it this way with that special condition, and if it turns out to be more than any environment for, they can always come back from the amendment.
Because given the scope of the project, which is such, it's such a small project, to have to incur the, if it's a much larger cost, it just doesn't seem like that makes sense. You know, if you're building up a brand new house, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's completely understandable.
Proportionate to the cost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, given the weight of porches and decks, I think the bearing capacity of the sand on Plum Island is more than sufficient for, you know, hand dug piles. I really don't see the need that these are going to have to be driven piles. I really don't. They're not supporting structure, per se. It's only supporting deck.
Yeah, like I said, it's really only one critical part.
Okay. Motion. Is there any comment from the public?
Is this the house that has the ornaments in the yard, so to speak?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's all decorated. It's all decorated, photo.
Oh, yeah. Very nicely.
There's a more open area on the
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
All right, back there.
All right. Let's, Steve, I will hand it over to you for time being. I'm recusing myself. Oh, yes, we do. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. Now, Steve, I hand it to you. I'm recusing myself for the record.
Good evening, members of the commission. Andrew made me aware that the mayor came in and updated you. So I'm not since I was at another meeting, I apologize for not being here at the time. I'm not sure what she presented, if you wanted to ask me a couple of questions, if you wanted me to explain where we are from my perspective, or how would you like to proceed.
I think you should go ahead and explain where you are from your perspective, since we just got this today, which thanks for sending it, but I think we could use a recap.
Just
want
to go through this.
Yeah.
Right. So there are really four things that I look at. First is to stabilize the landfill, and I went up there again this weekend. You can clearly see the grass is germinated. We had a couple of washouts that they have addressed. You may have seen that the other two things on the landfill are the two new letdown channels over on the southwest side of that have been cut in. They haven't been finished yet, and there's some hay bales up on the landfill itself. So I think as we talked about in the winter, we had the engineer take a look, and we've got this water coming off that southwest corner that's heading down into that southwest corner, what we're going to have to do with it, and I think I indicated a while ago that we're going to have to handle that from an engineering standpoint. So their view is, similar to what we talked about before, is letdown channels, so we can slow down some of that water and then ultimately intercept it before it goes off-site. So I think in terms of handling the washout from the last storms, I think the area is stabilized. The landfill, I think, is more stabilized than it was. I think it's in good shape. The second matter would be the replication area, which is in connection with the berm that the commission approved, and the replication, the excavation is starting this week for the area. We're going to dig out the area that we're going to put in. We'll check the grades and do the plantings that will take place this month. The third would be the vernal pool restoration, which again is also in connection with the berm work that was conversation. We have to wait for the breeding season to finish, so that work will take place in June. Both the restoration and the replication, as well as the erosion, which I talked about last, are being supervised by Mary Germer, Germer Environmental. So she's out there. She's out there today. She'll be out there tomorrow as well. So the fourth item is the erosion control, which has been the issue for some time. It turns out that some of the sand material that was delivered to us didn't meet the spec, so we lost a little bit more sand than we should have. There's a permeability factor. We're actually involved in a lawsuit with the vendor that provided us the material because it didn't meet the spec. I think that was one of the reasons why we lost some of it and sloughed down. I think now that Mary is convinced that we have the erosion controls right down in the southwest corner, one of the problems is that we still have to take some of the material out that's down in the wetland area. They started to do that last week, and then the rain forecast came, so they stopped doing that to reinforce the erosion controls, which is the silt fence, ABLs. We've got a seven basin there, and so they haven't finished that. Now, the problem is that's sort of a chicken or the egg, because in order to get that down there, we're going to have to take that material out again. So I think what we're going to wait for the weather to break, because if we're going to go down there and remove that material, it's going to be when we have a couple of days. And that's going to be by shovel, and then there's going to be a seed mix that we're going to put on there for restoring that area. So that, again, is also taking place this month. There's a lot of activity out there, if anybody's been out there, and people are moving around getting that work done. And we've actually notified the department that we're going forward with the replication as well. And I think as may have been indicated, the mayor, I wasn't on the site walk, but the mayor's been around. There's a punch list that's been developed between the mayor, New Ventures, and the department that the department's commented on, so we're responsible for doing that. So that's where we are. Again, we're anticipating that the erosion matters will be taken care of this month, that the vernal pool won't be until June, and the replication with the grates and the planting should take place this month.
Do you know if the mayor and you were doing a talk over the air?
And Hancock is doing that. They were supposed to be taking place this week. So, yeah, that's to get sort of a final view of.
Right, we're going to reshape.
To reshape, right. Yeah. Right. So, that, I don't know that, I know it's scheduled to take place.
In the southwest corner where most of the erosion is taking place, are you saying you think there are block channels put in there to slow the water down? Yeah. Or are we just filling it in as like a big building?
I think we're doing it. I mean, we've been up here recently in the last couple of weeks because I think we're going to do two things as I understand it. First is we're going to have the letdown channels do slow the water down. We're going to have to intercept that down at the bottom with, we've got the stone berm down here. So we're going to have to slow that down so we collect it and then we're directing it to where the erosion control measures are until it's ultimately stabilized. So it's not just a question of erosion control, it's to slow down that velocity over time, because we need that to stabilize, the water doesn't help.
It's a pretty wide area there where it's eroding, so I just don't know if one left option on the road.
There are two, and the reason I'm not filled in yet is because we have to provide calculations to the department to support the position that it will meet the stormwater standards so that it's not going to be an increase in the rate of runoff. Mm-hmm. So, but there, if you're coming down Pro Lane, there's one on what I'll call the south side before you get around the corner, which I would call the southwest. So there are two new letdown channels that you can see cut if you go down into the cutout, but there's no rock in there. Mm-hmm. But again, that's an engineering component. They're going to have to satisfy the department that we meet that requirement. If you remember, what happened, the theory was, is that we would take all the water, and we go back a long time, we take the water off the landfill, send it down to detention basin one, and then actually bring it back by pipe to the southwest corner. So we're still trying to mimic that. If the letdown channel, it may not go right into that pipe, so we have to compensate for that to make sure that the water balance remains the same. So it's not, as I've said from the beginning, it's not as easy as just throwing some rock down. We have to meet those.
My concern is before we put the spinal cell in place, is if we get another major ramstone, we're going to have to write that over there now.
Yeah, I think we're more, in terms of the grass, I think that's far more stable. We had, as I said, it turns out that some of the sand that goes on top of that layer was defective. Mm-hmm. So we had to remove, and with the flex care, that seemed to me to be more stable. But yeah, we're just hoping to get some, more. Whether they will allow that to keep stabilizing. And yeah, I think I don't know if the mayor mentioned this, but John Kerrigan said, you see, when you're in this closure mode, it's not, you're not having to hear it, but you do have this kind of erosion that happens because just by virtue of the slopes in the water, mm-hmm. and you just got to get it stabilized. So that's what we're trying to do.
Anybody have any questions?
So I had Mary do a report because I think Andrew, from the last meeting, I guess you asked for an update, and so she provide that. She, again, she's out there, and then she lets me know what's going on, and so I can report it to you, Andrew.
Any other questions?
All right, so
yeah.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll be back in a month or so, or at least I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted on it.
Yeah. No. Thanks for the update.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okie dokie. And nothing new on that other site there. I don't have my.
No, nothing. No, Shando. It was, he wasn't sure they were going to be ready by this meeting.
Okay. Then off to orders of conditions. David Janko, 1850 Fifth Street. What do you have for that?
I just need to send around the signature sheet for that because I don't think you guys have any conditions.
And for this one, the file number.
The file number's on the front here, and it's 0765. 0510765.
Really?
This is the amendment. This is the first one we did. This is 5-11 Kamala Turnpike. We're not at this yet.
Okay. Oh, all right.
This is just the amendment. Yeah.
I don't think we had anything for that.
The next one, okay. Did you get the file number? I haven't looked up the
number. Yes, it's 0877. So for Janko, did you have anything for that?
For Janko, special condition wise, condition to make the stair landing wood or wood composite, right? Instead of the concrete slab on that, not stair landing from the at grade. Okay.
Change seagrass to beach grass. Did we
want? I told them that about 10 times.
Did we? Do we need to see where the chase is coming up for the utilities?
I think it was on there. I didn't see it not on there.
I don't think they knew yet.
Yeah, it's not showing.
Actually, one of the pylons. We didn't discuss the pylon.
But I mean,
as long as it's the same size of the 20-inch
clay pipe,
whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, as long as it doesn't grow into a 4-point concrete.
Which we would see, and then it wouldn't meet the plans.
Well, that's actually my point, that it isn't shown anywhere on the plan. Yeah. But
they do specify the dimensions of it.
They do, yeah. He did say the dimensions.
Structurally, they could not put it any place else other than the wood pot.
To strap it to it.
Yeah. Not going to be extra energy for that.
Okay.
Couldn't do that. So that's only structural on the plan.
Mm-hmm. We can have a special condition that says that the utility shaft shall be as the dimensions as specified in the application.
Yeah.
Just to point it out.
Yeah.
Did he make comments on this project yet? And there were no comments? Is that right?
There were no comments on this one.
Yeah.
Well, no. This one, they say no comments.
Oh.
Who has the signature page on that? Oh, yeah.
Well, I think we're going to be voted yet.
Oh.
You're holding off?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
Motion.
Motion addition, what are the conditions for 85051-4877?
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Good thing you're here.
Okay. Next one is Timberline Enterprises, 23 Low Street.
To the buildings, additional trees to be added behind buildings along property lines on east and west sides of the site.
Right.
And location of the five oak trees to be revised on final plan. So those are the three. When they give us a final plan, we still have to go through the planning board process.
Yeah,
I'm imagining that they'll have a new final plan that they'll be able to submit. Did you find the file number on that one? Yeah.
That one, I don't. That one is not listed.
Okay.
At all.
Okay, we'll not issue it until. Right.
It doesn't even show up in DEP's listings.
Do you know if there's a file number on the ANRAP?
Because the question is the comments still here because
okay.
I'm all this ago, so I don't know. I didn't know
okay.
ANRAP.
All right.
There's would the ANRAP would be in here, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
State site. There's
yeah.
Nothing since February 1st.
Okay. Was the last I talked to Patrick C. Camp, he hadn't heard of the ANRAP.
Yeah, he's not here, but I can find out.
Okay.
First thing tomorrow.
Okay, great. All right, well, in any case, we can do the signature sheet and then we get the file number. We can issue it.
Yeah,
I made
that motion.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, and the last one, De Flumeres, Two Harbor Street. We just wanted them to change the footings to hand-dug pilings, wooden pilings.
Good luck with condo homes.
My client was having detailed discussions. Right, so what they did is they divided it into rectangles, and each rectangle is an exclusive use area adjacent to a condominium. The condominium unit is the little storage, the 10 by 10 little storage area adjacent to the little shed that is adjacent to the slip. That's the condominium unit. And so most of the units have been purchased by the main owner over the marine, and over the marine where the trust is the trustee of the condominium. Still got a few owners that are sort of on the fringes here, and I think that my client body had addressed all of that, but there's probably still a few out there who have some issues. So we'll get a result between now and the 16th. So. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Because he said he lived there for
20 years. He doesn't live there, right? What I understand is that there are a lot of the condo, I guess, to leave his boat in the same area every year. It's his area. And it's a small shed where he, when he virtualizes his boat, he takes a lot of the equipment off his boat, puts it in the shed, and that's the structure. That's the condo.
He said something about living.
Yeah, he, said,
yeah, he did say living there.
He lived there for 20 years. How nice it is when there's no boats around.
Well, I tell you, there was water and the sewers there, so I'm not sure how he's living there with a Board of Health permit. So.
Old school.
Yeah. That's what those ditches are for.
Sunday.
All right, back to the ordinance.
Picking up exactly where we left it off, I just was going to suggest some language. So on page 4, again, this is to go back and make clear that people have restrictions apply no matter what. On page 4, at the bottom of second A, just putting in the additional sentence at the bottom there saying that notwithstanding any additional requirement for exemptions, all activities on the Plum Island area beach shall be according to Section B below. So, one other place, just to make it clear again, so that someone who's reading on page 5 would see the same sort of language there, just in case they're looking at that section. On page 5, underneath, right after the heading exemptions and exceptions, modify that first sentence, just add something at the end, so it'll say, the following exemptions shall apply and no application or permit is required for the following activities, provided that such work is in compliance with section 6.5-28B, which is the specific performance standard for the Barrier Beach. So the two places, it makes it clear that the bottom restriction is still there.
Okay.
I think that brings us, we were just finishing up on page 7, moving on to page 8. I'm standing there, and it, I think we're going on to...
my one question on page 8 was, why did you get rid of the, in order to maintain compliance?
We're checking that out.
Yeah, why...
Oh, because that is because there is a variance provision within the Plum Island ordinance, and so this could be read to imply that there are no exemptions or variances allowed.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it doesn't really change anything whether to have it in there. So.
Page 9,
the
Thank you.
page 17, I think, of the email itself. Starting on 17 and then ending on 19, I think. We were talking a little bit about some of these definitions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we're going to suggest is
I think we were on redevelopment on page 18.
Yeah, so for the term redevelopment, again, this was, I think there was a concern here, not even here, but I think there was a concern here about making it clear that this term redevelopment is really applying to Plum Island set of restrictions, which is a little confusion because, there's some kind of different interpretation of redevelopment depending on what people say that and so forth. So this is, these provisions are really just to clarify what's intended by restricting development on Plum Island. So what I was going to suggest is we just add some language. So for instance, on page 20, that's the top of the page. And we'll get into, we can go over some more of the details if you have any questions, but on page 20 at the top where it says note, where it looks down, it says note, the term development and redevelopment. And rather than saying shall not include, we'll say as used in section 6.5-2A, which is the Plum Island, some restrictions, shall not include the following activities. So this is the end, because really that's the only section of the sword that deals with those terms. So just to make it clear that we're only referring to that section. And then I would suggest adding that same phrasing as used in section, to on page 18, where we have a definition of redevelopment, and page 19, where we have, page 20, sorry, 17 and 18, where we have a definition of redevelopment, new development, and development. So just to make it clear that those terms are in reference to the Plum Island section of those definitions.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that way you don't worry about someone who's in the rest of the city saying, I'm exempt because this is not considered redevelopment. You know, in the rest of the city.
Under the definition for redevelopment, number one, you include coastal engineering structure and solid fences, garages, sheds. In the current commandment ordinance, the term redevelopment was in there so as to allow some things in the high hazard zone. But that would not be read to include any increase in coastal engineering structure.
Right, all of these things here would be triggered and they would not be allowed to do those things.
Paul, are you saying that they should, that we should be allowed to do coastal engineering structure?
No, this is indicating that if it doesn't increase something 20%, that is would be called redevelopment. And redevelopment is a looser standard than development.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're referring specifically to the coastal engineering structure?
And there's, and having solid fences, if they currently had a solid fence 40 feet long and they want to make it 50 feet long, there's a kind of violent. Okay.
So I'm still not sure I understand. So this is saying that if the changes result in an increase over 20% of the existing, then that's considered redevelopment, in which case it wouldn't be allowed in the PD and AO zones, right? So.
Right, not at all.
So are you saying that that's too much?
Well,
I'm not sure.
You said you want anything to be triggered as not allowed.
Well, originally we had the term redevelopment so as to, you know, very tightly define this very minor, so that somebody who would happen to be right on the primary doing could, you know,
right.
Put in some stairs, you know.
Right.
Or something like that, but
right.
Not much else.
Right, but so how does this not work with that? Because this is saying that you could allow these things as long as they're not over 20% increase in the existing, right? So you're saying that that's too much?
Well, we're not going to allow them to add, we'll say, 20 feet to 100 foot long solid fence. This is basically just giving them...
Does this give them... If they have a 100-foot-long fence and they add 19, does this definition make that redevelopment?
Sounds to me like it's not redevelopment unless it exceeds a 20% increase in the footprint of the existing structure. Right. So an individual or cumulative increase in the footprint would be redevelopment exceeding 20%. So anything less than a 20% increase would not be called redevelopment.
Well, this is like about existing structures here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, really all this is, it's not saying that they need to come and get approval from you, it's just saying that those things are not allowed. You know, that this has a redevelopment is not allowed. You know, in here you're saying that someone can't put in a coastal engineering structure, a wall that should have provided inside of media approval, but they cannot go above 20%. So it's really just putting an absolute cap on that, rather than saying that you're only going to come to the commission to get approval for it. I think that's sort of the essence of that. It's not saying that below that 20% threshold they can move by right or whatever.
Right, it's not, this isn't in the exemption section.
Right.
This isn't anything.
Right. This is just saying, because again, the ordinance says that these things are prohibited, essentially. So this is just saying anything, you know, we consider it prohibited, it's above that 20%, and, you know, anything below that, it still needs your approval, but you can't authorize them to do that.
Is there any way we can make that clearer? You know, if we're confused about it, we're the ones who are going to enforce this thing.
You could probably add a little sentence in there. Someone has to get better than it. Just,
Well, what you just said is back there a little bit. I mean,
it probably would be good if we did that. Why don't we just add a sentence at the end of that? Just to make it more clear. Any increase smaller than 20%, we also still need approval today.
Right.
That'll make it clear.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's good.
I've got one question. Probably on both pages 17 and 18, for development, and it says construction of a new building and structure on a vacant lot.
Is that which?
On page 17,
yeah.
Under developments, you go on to construction, you go on to construction on the vacant lot. And on the next page, new development, the construction of the structure of the vacant lot. Why would you restrict that to a vacant lot? I mean, that apply to...
That was special cases.
Because otherwise it'd be redevelopment.
So if somebody has a lot and want to add a garage...
That's redevelopment.
That's redevelopment.
Yeah, okay. That was one thing we were going to get to a little bit later. Might as well address now. A lot of this plot overlay, or I don't know overlay because I don't know the building, but this local web was ordered for Plum Island. It was a result of the water and sewer project, and you mentioned consent order from DEP, and some of you were very familiar with that, some of you only have a personal understanding of it. But the governor at the time heard this executive order saying that, in essence, in our case for the water and sewer, state funds and federal grants for construction projects will not be used to encourage growth and development in hazard-prone barrier beach areas. And that was where this whole administrative consent order came from. If you're going to put, this water and sewer system in there, you need to have regulations at the local level that prohibit people from creating and developing in hazard-prone area, because you don't want to be encouraging that to happen. That was followed up by clarification because of the concern by residents and property owners who have property out there saying, oh, you're saying I can't take care of my existing home, I can't put up the tilings, I can't maintain it, I can't, add a small addition to it, that kind of thing. So the governor had followed up with it and saying the clear intent and meaning of Executive Order 181, which is the executive order, was to control the development of any land within the velocity zone for primary dune areas of the barrier beaches, not to preclude existing property owners the right to reconstruct, rehabilitate, expand, or make other improvements in the normal course of updating or modernizing structures that existed prior to Executive Order 181. So, that is intended to make it clear that, we could all philosophically step back and say, in an ideal world, we're not going to allow anything new to happen out there. But that was not the intent, of our governor, by the executive order, to say, you can't maintain what you have, you can't do a small ancillary addition or adjustment to it. What it was intended to do is to say you can't do a wholesale redevelopment, you can't develop any vacant lots, you can't do anything other than small adjustments, let's say. So I think it's important to note, and that's why there's these definitions of development and redevelopment to sort of clarify, some of these things that it wasn't intended to prohibit people from doing some of these things, it was intended to prevent, new development, not maintenance of not people's properties that already have improvements on them. So that's why on page 17, 18, 19, and 20, we have these definitions.
That, I have to ask this, that clarification from Governor King, didn't that come long after he was out of office?
It did.
Yeah. So it's not based in anything.
It's not relevant.
Well, legally it kind of is, because he's not in office. He didn't make that decision while he made one decision while I was in office, and then.
I think, and well, I understand the argument you're making. I think this would go very far, actually.
Yeah, it was. I think it was almost equivalent to a deposition.
Yeah,
that he was.
Frankly, the fact that, I do think that there are some things on Newbury that are not the same way that you do them here in Newbury Court, and I wouldn't recommend them be just to do things like they do in Newbury, but the fact that they are in their code and DEP is comfortable with those definitions and those adjustments to their code, which is basically for all the purposes of St. Lazare, which just has those clarifications, that itself is a sign that DEP is comfortable with. Those provisions clarify and redevelop being consistent with this. Even if you read the executive order itself, it doesn't actually say, it says, shall not be used to encourage growth and development in hazard-prone barrier beach areas. That, if you had, a bunch of attorneys look at this and litigate it, they say, well, it doesn't really say you can't do modifications to existing structure, you can't, take care of your property. This is clearly meant to prevent people from adding new homes out there, almost ever redeveloped. So, that's in essence what this section is meant to do, is to clarify that. Philosophically, if you were starting from scratch in this city, and there was something else out there, I would say, this one needs to be written as a new development ever, on a barrier beach. But given the fact that there's already development out there, the legislature we don't want anything new up there. You know, you can maintain what's out there, but no more. You know, mm-hmm. You know, all the vacant lots, you know, there, nothing can help them. You know, the limitations, we have zoning limitations as well, so you can have one bedroom to it, but you can't do anything, you know, beyond that. You know, frankly, the new field of maps up here are going to prevent some other things anyway.
Another matter entirely.
because basically all going on now is a special hazard area in the new maps. So. Mm-hmm. So I think you were on page, I don't know exactly the page we're on. On page 18, the bottom line of the coastal engineering structures, is there anything more in the definition of those? You know, whether that includes like a seawall, and sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, at the last meeting, there was, I think the concern came out of just a confusion maybe around this redevelopment definition, discussion that we just had. So I think now that we've clarified that, I think, I don't know if you would agree that it's fine the way it stands as long as we add that clarification about still requiring permits.
Yeah, I would still remove coastal engineering.
You would?
Yeah, because it kind of implies to someone that, okay, they can extend it, you know, like a seawall.
Right.
And,
right.
I mean, we're not saying that, no, you can't, but you can't assume it's redevelopment.
Okay.
Do you want to put somewhere else in the you can add an additional requirement on the section that says any coastal engineering structure to meet commission approval, just to make it clear there. I mean, if the intent is to take it out of here and say we want to make sure people who do a coastal engineering structure come to us, might as well just put it in the pull-out section and say anybody doing a coastal engineering structure needs to come to commission. Just to make it clear.
Yeah.
But this isn't saying that it doesn't need a permit.
Oh, I agree.
Well, yeah.
I feel fine about it.
I know that, but it's... I mean...
Saying that
it's
okay,
but it's kind of...
Well, you know, on the reverse, it's saying that we can only allow 20%
right.
increase.
Oh,
whereas it's possible maybe we want to allow greater than 20% increase.
We could do that too. Okay. Yeah.
So maybe it makes sense for two reasons to take it out. To give ourselves the flexibility in either direction. To permit it maybe more strictly on a case-by-case basis,
right.
Given the sensitivity of coastal engineering structures.
If you're going to say that they're prohibited, you know, maybe one from the pull-out sector, if you're going to say that they're just regulated, the commission might as well just leave it right here, because this says that the commission has to approve it.
But the only problem with this is it says you can only approve it if it doesn't exceed 20% of the original size of the...
Oh, no, agreed. Yeah. So I guess the question is then, do you want to get into the 20% or move this out of the...
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe we take it out just to give ourselves the flexibility.
Well, that too.
Yeah, because sometimes it may be necessary for it to be greater than 20% increase.
Yeah.
And
we don't know what's going to happen. There could be a storm.
Right, for public safety.
Also, there's something on the basin that's...
I mean, there's also variances for things like that, but...
Yeah.
Would folks agree with moving that to the pull-out section saying that it needs commission approval, but not putting a cap on it at 20%, so you still have some flexibility?
Yeah.
21% or 22%?
Yeah, I think that's right, because I think you certainly use that kind of a thing very different.
Yeah.
A house.
Right. I mean, what if Army Corps comes in and says they need to do X, Y, or Z? And
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody come to that? We're going to move that.
I thought we didn't want to touch the plumb section.
Well, what we can't do is remove any restrictions that are in there. We can go beyond that if we want to clarify that someone needs to come in for any coastal engineering structure. Now, frankly, that's going to be triggered.
It's sort of obvious. It's
you know,
they obviously.
Anyway, this just makes it clear. This doesn't violate the ACO because it. We still have the same restrictions in that section. This just makes it clear that anybody doing that has to come to us, but it doesn't put that 20% cap. So you can go over that if you feel it's appropriate and release it. So I'm fine that way. All right, so we'll move it to the pull-out section.
Yeah. And it would be nice if we could drop the word solid in front of fence.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Yep, they got these.
And also the definition under development.
I'm sorry, the for the word solid?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just one question I have. Why is the this section under note the term on page 20, note the terms of development and redevelopment? Why is that stuck at the end of that section?
As opposed to earlier on?
Yeah.
You know, I debated that back and forth as to how the best way to insert it in there, frankly, because it's rather lengthy and it triggers, it's tied to both of those terms. I felt it best to give it, you know, it's going to have its own, like, somewhere in there. I felt it was better to make reference to it. If you look on page 19 at the top, it says see what you're hope. And on page 17 at the bottom, it says see what you're hope.
Okay.
Rather than just duplicate the same text in both locations, it's easy to go. I felt it better just, you know, even though you suffer. Whether you have to refer people, you have to be really going with. In this case, I thought it was better than typing it twice to just have it reference one spot for both terms, because they're basically both tied in that explanation.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, what might be good is where you say to have a, you know, see note below, say, see note one below.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
you know, this could,
yeah.
You know, when I first read that, I was kind of looking for note.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but it kind of,
yeah, and if you want, I mean, you can give an item number for saying,
yeah, you know, yeah, guide someone through it.
Yeah.
Last meeting, you guys, or several of you, moved to strike A and B from substantial improvement.
I think, you know, given case law on these types of issues and given, irrespective of the date that the governor had written that explanation, you know, given that background, I think it'd be hard, even in the language of the executive order, I think it'd be hard to make a case that the commission was going to deny something that was needed just to deal with the health, sanitary, or building code issue. And given the fact that you already have language in here that says, and which are the minimum necessary to assure safe living conditions. So, you know, as long as they're doing the minimum that's required for the code issue, they can't go beyond that. Anything beyond that, they have to come to you for approval. I think it'd be hard to make a case that you know, if the commission denies something here, I think they're going to get approved anyway because it's going to get over, and if they want to appeal it, it's going to get approved anyway. You really can't deny health, sanitary, code issues, something that's really already there. We're not talking about new structures, which clearly would be the difference here. We're talking about maintaining health, sanitary, building code for existing structure. I would suggest that we did talk about taking out the last part of that paragraph where it says war shall
mean. Yeah, because I wasn't sure what that meant.
Yeah, I think we should take out the part where it says war shall mean at the end of that sentence there. But as far as keeping that for a second, I don't think we can really, even if you took that out of there, we can really get away with, you know, denying a permit or something that is just a health code or something. So, there's plenty of case law that suggests that someone's got a piece of property that they can feed up to save health and sanitary.
Right, to Dan's point, why do we even have to have it in there?
Again, I think it's a good clarification.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, initially it was in there so that when, you know, if we had that 50% rule of cost, that they wouldn't have to include those kind of upgrades.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about the inclusion of those numbers. My concern is it's just it's logical. It's consistent with case law. It should be clear from the ordinance that those things are not. You're not the intent of this ordinance. Whether those things can be done. I know it's in some of the council's minds to make sure that you know we're not going to need people to maintain the houses they have. And I think for good reason. You know, people already have a quote investment bank expectation that they can keep their houses up. And we talked about just striking entirely out of the B, which is the historic structures element. I'm not sure this is going to come up very frequently anyway, but if there was a historic structure, I don't know if the lighthouse or not, you can always just deal with it as a variance or something. And then we talked about in the last paragraph, I think we talked about the vernal pool requirements, just making sure that it's any successor guidelines or requirements. Mm-hmm. And also saying in that last sentence that it's driveways or structures in existence or proposed. Under a plan approved by the commission at the time of adoption of the ordinance. So it's making it clear that we're only giving people that grandfathering, you know, provision if they've already got it approved by you, not just, you know, something that's proposed on the plan. You can't just pass something before it's got that approved. So just making it clear that it's only if it's been approved by the commission.
And now page 20 and 21, we hadn't gotten to this.
Right, so the security enforcement fine. Do you want to just go section for paragraph by paragraph? Or I don't know how you were handling it last time.
Well, you guys all reviewed it previously. Did anybody have any specific comments on page 20 and 21?
You know, page... the second one regarding security.
Oh, security.
That's pretty,
I don't think we made any changes to that, did we?
Yeah, there's no changes to that.
No, we didn't make any changes to security. Yeah, so that may be it, actually.
I don't have any changes in my copy, but we put in there.
No.
I don't recall Steve or Tom bringing up any issues. I'm hoping that if they don't have any comments, we're going to go to the council next time. And, you know, or what I think maybe happened the most is Steve Sawyer may come in and say, you know, great, they made some adjustments to some of the language to clarify some things. I still find all the, this is basically a conversation I had a couple days ago. I think the most he might do is probably still come in and say, I disagree with having 25 and undisturbed, which, you know, frankly, if I'm saying we disagree, you know, we need to have undisturbed, it's, you know, we have to have a transition zone or something. So if that's the only thing he has to say, you know, fine. But I think our hope is to make sure that if at all possible, then I can do some outreach to make sure that they're not going to come to me and say, oh, there's something new we felt that was not addressed. And again, have to sit around waiting for that. The ordinance going to be very close right now. So hopefully we've addressed any of the concerns that they would have about And Barry is now back at the council. Katie will be back at the next council meeting. So hopefully we'll bring out the next council meeting.
When is that?
That would be the 15th of May, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Just check.
Wait, or is our next meeting?
Our next meeting's on the 15th.
So it's the
14th. Actually, wait a minute.
I think our next meeting is the
15th. No, it is the 14th.
Okay.
Yeah, the 14th. So hopefully the 14th will be able to bring it out.
Well, I personally, I would like to have Doug and Mary get a chance to see this thing.
Well, we'll make the changes.
They
have comments from the last one, and they were there for the conversation. I don't know if Mary was. I know Doug was
okay.
At our last meeting. And so, but, I mean, I think we need to get these new changes in here because it's gonna have to be made clear to the council as well.
We get those changes in the
Yeah, absolutely.
Because assuming we get it to the council, the more likely it is that the council will vote on the bill and bring it out to the committee for the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been somewhat difficult to get it in the schedule of planning on subcommittee meetings, so at least I'd like
mean, I think it's good that we can say that we've heard from some consultants and engineers and developers about it, that we listened to their concerns, that we actually went back, made some more changes, fine-tuned it even a little bit more, and now we think it's, like, perfect.
Right.
You know, I think
that there's going to be some more restrictions because of the field map changes on the line. I know there's some folks out there, I mean, some folks maybe not understand the map changes yet, but some folks out there who are obviously concerned about the fact that, you know, most of the island now is considered a special hazard area.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, in some cases, a lot more velocity, you know, wave action, large along its on the ocean. So anyway, that's going to be restricting some other things, you know.
Okay.
Okay. Then the FEMA map, I mean, if you reference on the agenda, the FEMA change, I have the language, I don't think I can write it on the commission, but the zoning change, so it doesn't involve the commission directly, but it's language required by FEMA. FEMA map changes, the additional language, the additional maps, and map, you know, there's actually some additional provisions in there, but, you know, like a subdivision has to show some more flood information on it, kind of plan, they submit to the planning board, but some basic things that they want to beefed up from our last language, and every community is kind of having gotten similar type of provisions, so the council is expecting to take that up. They just referred to planning and development and the planning board for comments. Planning, we'll hopefully have a meeting on the 23rd or 24th of this month, and then early June, be able to actually take it out and have it adopted prior to the deadline, which is July 3rd. So if people have questions, I think I forwarded all of you the notice about the public meeting, so if a lot of questions can come to that. Frankly, I'm not the best person on the insurance side of it. I have some general sense of those things, but, you know, I think it's probably frustrating for people that they break it down into so many different subzones. You know, not just flood, special flood hazard area, but these sort of subsets.
Right.
I think that's what really confuses people. So, you know, as far as how that affects the insurance, I'll refer entirely to the FEMA folks.
So this is the meeting next Tuesday night, right? And it's here. It's upstairs.
Here in the auditorium, yeah.
And FEMA's going to be there. So they're going to be discussing a lot of insurance issues, but
yeah.
Are they going to be also giving a broad overview, a good picture that would be useful for us to all attend?
I'm still waiting for them to get back on how they're going to be doing the agenda. I mean, I think we're sort of a little bit early in the curve in terms of how they're doing across the state.
Okay.
So we're a little bit before the curve, but I expect them to be doing a presentation sort of summarizing the entire picture, answering some general or giving some background information on the insurance side of it, as well as the sort of development side of it. And how things have changed, and then saying they have some tables out there with maps on them for each of the communities, so it's not just a great report, but they wanted to have a sort of a, you know, small regional type meeting to sort of cover the ground. So I want to make sure we're tied here so that our residents that were here can have their questions answered, but they wanted to do some outreach to other communities at the same time. So they'll have maps out on the tables, I think, for all the communities who can sort of look through them, ask questions of the FEMA and DCR folks. And then we'll see what other types of things they come up with. They told me that they're going to have some insurance folks here from FEMA, so hopefully they can answer questions about how that's affecting people's sort of cost. But that question I can't answer right now. But I do know it's going to cost people a little more on the island than what I can see. So.
Okay.
I just have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear anything from about the town council?
About the strategy?
I actually called in about that one.
Oh, did you hear?
I called in and I got a brief for you.
Oh, good. What did she say?
Yeah, I called in. So,
do you have like some special hotline for her?
No, actually, strangely, I think when I called her, she was the person who picked on me.
Wow.
But anyway, we had a brief conversation. I was talking to her. I said, you know, just trying to understand what the basis was, because the letter didn't really explain that, and what the status of it was. And they said that they're still processing it, but they were, generally speaking, the sense they got was, and of course, they can't sort of pin down on the letter yet, but my understanding is they were okay with the work as far as, like, maintaining, like, you know, mowing. They were okay with that side of it. It was because a portion of the plan they felt was within the area that they considered upon their site inspection to be the BPW, that they didn't fill the entire package. So, they may either refer back to the commission for consideration of some other factors, or they may issue their own routine order, maybe striking some portion of the project. So, those are the work they felt would have been done based on their field inspection. So, we'll see where they are.
So, did they go out and do a field inspection?
Well, so Rachel said to me, she said, oh, you know, you guys were told about the site. I said, yeah, we've got the letter like a day or two before the meeting, you know, we could schedule this sort of thing, you know, that quickly. So, and usually they send those things up weeks in advance. I don't know, it didn't seem like she was aware of the fact that we got like a day or two before they were actually going out. It was sort of like, it was almost the day of that they gave it to us.
Well, yeah, it arrived on a Monday. The letter arrived on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It was postmarked on Friday for a site visit on Thursday.
Okay, that's
it. And so because of my hours, it just couldn't go.
Yeah, I mean, usually those things come out a couple weeks in advance.
Yeah.
You know, the last time we had this thing was for, at least that I learned about was for rehab, and that was weeks in advance. And we had plenty of time to make sure, you know, Joe and I met up, you know, so we were able to make sure we could be there. It's in the report. Yes, I haven't heard about draft mode at all.
Okay, but she didn't say they needed anything from us at this point. It was just they were handling it and they let us know.
No, I got to send it there. I got to refer back and ask for the permission to,
the other one was moving forward on
Saltmarsh.
Yeah,
it's on my agenda. I've been away now. I'm back and again. That's next up.
Okay.
Get in touch with Mary Grimmer. See if she would be interested in doing that.
Mark Jacobs is probably.
Or Mark Jacobs.
Either one.
Yeah, either one. Okay, good.
So with the getting back to the ordinance for a second. You're going to do the changes on that and send it out to us, and then that's going to get submitted to the City Council?
Yeah, I'll send it out to you. I will also CC the Planning Development Committee so they're aware of the language change that happened, whether it's the public or the kind of see what we did. Basically, just everybody's got a final version. There's a final version. The Commission put some language changes in there. Maybe just going to kind of give a quick synopsis of anything substantive they want to pay attention to. But basically, ask them that they, you know, unless we hear otherwise from the members that weren't here tonight, we're hoping that they can schedule their planning development meeting. You think we'll want to bring it out in the next meeting. Obviously, if there's any changes that we have to make to the commission, we should have that in advance. But just again, as a reminder that we're hoping that they don't sort of leave the committee for, you know, another couple of months here to bring it out of the council. They are meeting, actually, the Planning Development Committee, I think, is meeting on Thursday next week, maybe? I think it will be Thursday next week. They're we're talking about the tree ordinance, so it's probably my hope a little bit that they, if they're willing to take it up as, you know, not a whole lot of change, or we shouldn't attend too much, you know, say we've seen it, great, let's now, you know, agree to this as well. That will allow them to bring out the things and we as a committee to bring out the changes that
happen. That's a perfect timing, actually.
It's a good timing. If they do it that night, I mean, I've also had problems before trying to get them to do multiple things on the night, so.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Speaking of the tree ordinance, just one little question I had. When they remove a tree that's mangling a sidewalk, who takes out the roots and how is it?
Well, so there isn't clarification in the current regulations about that. The new ordinance says that the responsible party, in this case, it's the city of the government, has to do within 6 months of the removal of the tree. They have to move everything down to the 6 months when we don't see it. So there isn't, they have to take down a tree, they don't just stop this.
No, I'm talking about the roots that are going underneath the sidewalk, trashing the sidewalk. Who takes care of?
Right, and up until now, I think it's been completely hit or miss as to how that's been addressed. I think the ordinance is supposed to make it clear that those things are all moved as part of the, that project. Mm-hmm. I think it's just standing back up, so that's supposed to be taken care of. I think if the tree is taken down.
Yeah. Okay.
If it's an election year, approach your council.
Yes, that too. And the other issue was Paul's term is up on the Community Preservation Committee, so we'll have to do another vote regarding that, but we'll take care of that at the next meeting.
Oh, I certainly don't mind doing that, but I think the commission has to, it's our, I'm being our representative there, so I think the commission has to.
Yeah, we had to vote. We voted on it the last time. Yeah.
Okay. You guys
want to
vote?
No.
You're going to put that on the agenda for the next meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Has he ever said anything about where you're pointing?
Again, I've been away, so I'm going to get with you. Next time I see Donna, I'll be she just likes to leave you hanging out there. No man's land.
Yeah, they come up, so I
wait and see what kind of federal.
Yeah.
I thought I'd been a long ago, so I could go with you.
Absolutely. I highly recommend them. Yeah, it's worth a try. Anything else? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Too bad.